There was three pieces of property in question. Two of them, they've agreed to allow us plow. The third one, as has always been stated, is borrowed property. So we're going to continue to maintain and plow that one.
Well, that third one, that's the one that's across the tracks from me?
Yes.
The one you're talking about?
That's borrowed property.
And that's not on a tax map?
No. The tax map might be outdated, but Norfolk Southern confirmed that it's not theirs. Their property ends 1 foot west. Their property ends 1 foot west of the telephone poles. The street is beyond that.
Okay.
So that's our road there.
And we're still not maintaining these private properties?
No. We're not maintaining the two Norfolk Southern properties. We will be plowing them once we come to an agreement with them.
All right. So any road repairs, they have to go through you?
No, we're not doing road repairs. It's their roads. If they choose to repair it, they can repair it.
I'm being told that there was potholes fixed on the road between South Lincoln and Broad Street this year.
If it was, it was out without my knowledge. We're not maintaining that, and that was the instruction I provided. So if someone's doing it, they're doing so without my knowledge.
All right.
That's one of the properties they've agreed to
Everything the DPW does, none of that goes through you?
Some of it does, some of it doesn't, depending on the issues.
All right. If there's a record that it was done, who would have that, and where would I find that?
If they did it while they were out on the road, there wouldn't be a record of them patching a hole.
Well, I'm just saying, if it went through you, it would be a record.
Yes.
It would be a record.
If it came
where can
in
I
my
find
office.
That? Who do I see, the woman that...
You can fill out an open request and ask. If you just want to look at it, you can come in any time, and if we have a record, we can show it to you.
Yeah.
If you want a physical copy of it, you can fill out an open request, and we'll be happy to give it to you if it exists. I don't know.
All right.
Off the top of my head.
All right.
We don't own that road, and the two gentlemen, that I spoke with at Norfolk Southern have agreed to allow us to use that road, for lack of a phrase, as a quasi-public road, even though it's their property.
Yeah.
So... I'm concerned about this road myself.
This road is not a borough-owned road. It never was a borough-owned road. At some point in the past, it was maintained by the borough. How or why is anyone's guess. We shouldn't be on that road. Technically, anytime someone drives on it, they're trespassing on railroad property. The railroad has agreed to allow us to use that road for public use and to remove the snow. That's it. No maintenance. As well as the road that they own behind your property.
Okay. What about your sewer easement there?
That's a separate issue. I'm working on them with the sewer easement as well.
Because with all the rain we've had, and I brought this up the last time I was here, and I still have the pictures, you got a manhole cover sticking out this high, and I have no way of missing it because the road is so narrow.
But again, we don't own the road, so we can't maintain it.
Well, who's responsible if I hit the manhole cover?
Norfolk.
And rip off my oil pan?
It's not our property. We don't own it.
The sewer is your property, isn't
Correct.
It? So if I hit the manhole cover, it's your property. That's what you're telling me.
Sure. Here's what the law is. If you hit it, you would make a claim under the Tort Claims Act, okay? And it would go to the borough's insurance carrier.
Yeah.
For a determination. What they would very likely say is, since you knew about the manhole, and if
but
you hit
it... can't avoid it, how can I not hit it?
I understand your issue.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that would be the process, and that would probably be the likely outcome. They would say, gee, if you hit it, you knew about it.
But if I'm making a public notice here that you know that your sewer pipe is sticking up, how does it fall on me?
Well, the argument the insurance carrier would make is that you drive it every day,
well,
and you got to avoid it.
It's undrivable, Mr. Cushing. That's why I'm here.
I understand your problem, but the problem is you need to go and work out a deal with the railroad.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know why it's always... I'm a taxpayer here for 23 years. Why is it falling on me now? I'm already paying road taxes.
Well, I know, but the point is, like, look, when you bought the house...
Yeah, it was a borough road. I was told it was a borough road. What happened for the last 25 years, it was a borough road. Now, all of a sudden, it's not a borough road. Okay, I'm fine with that. But the borough still has a sewer easement underneath the ground. And my concern is, it's almost undrivable.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here telling me that if I hit it, it's my fault. But I'm telling you, I can't drive the road.
Okay, but you're assuming it's a borough road. It's never been a borough
road. Okay, fine. It's never been a borough road, but it's still a borough sewer.
Yeah, but the sewer is where it is, okay?
Okay.
The borough doesn't
mean... It's in the road.
Well, okay, but it's not the borough's road.
Okay. It's the borough sewer. It's coming out of the road.
Right, but look, I mean, the solution is to go to the railroad. The railroad, for $1,000 a year, $100 a year, was willing to enter into an agreement.
They were willing to do that with the town, too, Rich.
Yeah, but...
I just said that.
Yeah.
They're working toward that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a short-term solution that you could do right away if you want to deal with it. You know, I'm not trying to be difficult to you, but the fact of the matter is, you know, the road is not owned by the borough, and it isn't maintained by the taxpayers.
See, okay, that's fine, but I'm being told that you're filling potholes over on the other street that's railroad property, and that's what's confusing me here. Is we can pick and choose what roads we're going to maintain or fix, and then, of course, Rich doesn't know anything about it. I'd like to find out to see if there was any kind of documentation. I don't know.
Could you show, you know, who did you learn? I think this
guy lives on, a friend of mine lives right at the end of South Lincoln.
Okay. So then maybe it would make sense for you later on to supply that information to Rich. Rich can go out there and have a conversation with the guy and find out. And if I'm hearing correctly, what I'm hearing is that if somebody was filling potholes out there, maybe there was a mistake. And that's what the manager needs to run down and find out. Because you're right.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be proper to pick and choose. We can't do that. We've got to treat people equally, and we've got to follow the law.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then it needs to be run down to find out, A, if it's factually accurate. In other words, they were filling potholes. And number two, if they were filling potholes, then he has to go to the head of the road department and say, this road is not owned by the borough. It isn't maintained by the borough. We shouldn't be filling potholes out there. So that's the approach.
Well, for the last 2 years, I've been being told that we're not doing anything to that road, but my friend tells me every year that they've been maintaining the road.
Right.
And it's frustrating.
Yeah, no, I hear what you say. It shouldn't be treated differently. You're absolutely right about that.
Is this the road that goes between South Lincoln and...
Broad Street.
I thought about this because you mentioned it last meeting, we weren't going to snowplow, but I happen to use that road quite frequently to avoid the congestion in downtown. I mean, it's invariably, I will turn off and use it just to avoid Broad Street and I think there's a lot of citizens that do use it, and I would hope before we just mix the old snowplowing and everything, we find out how many people use it. I mean, it's just that...
As I said earlier, the railroad has agreed to allow us to use that property for a quasi-public road and provide the snowplow. I'm waiting for the agreement from them before we can do anything.
I didn't hear, do we supply the snowplow or do they?
We will once the agreement is entered into.
When you say that, does that also mean my road too? Or
yes. All the roads are going to be done via separate agreement.
So there's three.
There's two.
Two?
There's two.
What about that lot number 104? That was
I don't know which
that's
one.
That's
104,
one. That's
but that's
one.
Borough-owned property, which we maintain and plow now. I'm only talking about the two properties,
lot
the one on Broad between South Lincoln and the one parallel to the railroad tracks behind North Jackson Ave. Those are the ones that the railroad company has agreed. Those are also the ones that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that are also addressed in our ordinance that says if we get consent from the property owner, we can maintain them. That's what we're trying to do.
Richard, am I on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
In the letter that you had given us for October 13th, just for clarification reasons, item number one, Prado Road west of railroad tracks near Jackson Ave, which is what we're speaking to, is 77 North Jackson. The last sentence in your letter states, therefore the borough will continue to maintain the road, parentheses, including snow removal from now on. The way I read that is we will be able to fill that pothole by the sewer, full cover.
the railroad company is still aggravated at the borough, the Williams. No, no, and I want to explain just your rationale.
I know that, and you've done a good job on that, but your letter says that, what, just dump a couple tons of rock wherever it may be down in there, because it says you'll continue to maintain the road, including snow removal. So I don't know where the arguments are coming that we can't fill those potholes.
We don't own it yet, and we don't have the authorization.
But it's in your letter that you had a conversation with the railroad. Great job. That conversation must have been given with the railroad. You're regurgitating that, yes, we can maintain that road, which includes snow removal.
Correct.
So maintaining and snow removal are two separate issues.
Correct. But I can't go on there until we enter the agreement and make any changes.
And then you will, of course, have the maintenance done as well, obviously.
That's up to you folks.
That was my request.
That's a decision for you folks to make, because it's a policy issue.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you make the determination that you want to maintain a private road, you could do that. But, of course, it sets a precedent. And you...
No.
It's up to you.
Over by
but
my fellow body along the rivers.
With that being...
By my fellow body behind...
Hypothetically, if you needed to get a vehicle back there to service that main, and they can't make it back there because of that sewer manhole, the sewer company is going to have to do something with that road back there to make it...
We can't maintain private sewer.
The sewer department can, though. If they need to get back there, they're right away. How are they going to get back there with a machine or a truck?
They get to it from Cattell Court.
Okay.
No, they can't. There's a log in the road.
And if they can't get through to Cattell Court, where are they going to go?
The railroad?
It's simpler if we could just contact the sewer department, okay? They can just put a little stone by that manhole cover, and we'd end the whole thing.
I can't authorize someone to go on private property.
But if they need to get to that right-of-way, we can do that.
We don't have a right-of-way there.
The sewer does.
No, they don't. There is
no... How do they maintain the line there?
That line was installed without the railroad company's knowledge.
They still need to maintain the line?
Okay. Justin, with all due respect, please, once I get something in writing from the railroad company that gives us the authority to maintain... and it gives us the authority to remove the snow, we can do it. I cannot go by their word and says, yeah, we'll agree to it. I need
that.
To see it in writing first.
Who did we contact? I don't see any names on here.
I contacted a gentleman in Harrisburg, and I contacted a regional manager in Washington, D.C.
Okay. If we could just have names. Just
I don't have them in front of me.
Okay, I know you don't. Thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Todd?
No, that's it.
Okay.
All right, thanks, guys.
Mrs. Detlef, come on up. I'm sorry.
Okay. From what you're saying, then, once you get it written, that you will take care of the sinkhole or the manhole cover or whatever?
I can't do anything until the governing body executes the agreement. The agreement has to be approved by the governing body.
But it's in the works?
Yes.
Okay. Other than that, I have a kind of a complaint, sort of, regards to our code enforcer, that what I have found out is by him not going around himself and having people call in is that you have pitted neighbor against neighbor. And I, for one, don't shake your head, no.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. That's why I'm shaking my head.
Well, if you lived here and somebody had to call in about something that was wrong, that makes them the bad guy.
My code enforcement officer responds to calls, and he's out there every day.
He's responding to a call. He's not going around and being the bad guy himself, which he's getting paid to do.
That's not correct. I mean, even
well,
the
no,
issue...
No, wait. I'm telling you how I feel about what has happened.
Okay.
On the 27th of July, he was out because one of my neighbors complained about high grass. After the 27th, he came back with a counter from that neighbor who complained about their yard. So they take care of their yard. And this is now almost the end of October, and the first neighbor hasn't done squat. And now it's more like a fire hazard because this grass has dried, and it's all out there.
Without knowing his specific address and without looking at his files, I can't comment. I can tell you that...
I don't really want your comment. I just want you to know what is going on and how I feel. I don't feel that we're being serviced by the code enforcer properly.
May I respond?
Sure.
I can tell you that for a part-time employee, he does a tremendous amount of work, both proactively and reactively. We have a 96% compliance rate with landlord-tenant registration. The highest we ever had before that hovered around 15%.
How much money have you taken in on code enforcement problems?
$14,000 this year.
And that's compared to what for 2010 or 2009?
I have to go back to 10, but it was less than a third.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
It was about less than a third. The compliance rating on landlord-tenant registrations alone were 10 to 15% max. Now I have well over 90%.
Be it as it may, I'm not happy with it. And I don't like the idea of having a fire hazard near my house. Our houses are wood.
Can you give me the address, and I'll be more than happy to look into it tomorrow?
I will after the meeting.
Sure.
Thank you.
Hello, we're here about McKinley Avenue and the drainage problem.
Your name and address for the record, please.
Oh, my name is Mr. and Mrs. William Powell, 17 McKinley Avenue, Washington, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Okay.
You were here at our last meeting, correct?
Yes, we were. We were just wondering if anybody came out and checked it out.
Yes, the engineer was out there last week. He tried knocking on your door, but at the time, no one was home. In fact, he contacted me yesterday to see if I had your phone number. We checked our tax records, and we didn't. He was going to write you a letter with what his findings are, and in tandem, he was going to meet with me and my director of public works to see if there's something we can do.
Okay.
I'm going off the top of my head here, but the short version of it is the old canal that's there,
uh-huh.
He seems to think that if we redirect the existing berm that's there, it might alleviate some of it, but he didn't want us to do it until he can verify that, because the last thing he wants to do is solve one problem and cause another.
Yes.
So when we're through here, you know, when you're not near the mic, I'll step down. If you can give me your phone number, because I know he wanted to walk on your property, but he can't do so without your okay.
Oh.
That's why he tried knocking on your door, but unfortunately no one was home at the time.
I see. Okay.
So as soon as you're through, I'll come down and I can get your phone number.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else from the audience? Yeah, they're done.
Susan Sloan, 89 Grand Avenue, Washington, New Jersey.
All right. Is that better? Thank you. I know we're into cost-effective analysis. First of all, my whole first part of my speech was blown away because I was concerned about that bypass between Broad Street and South Lincoln, which I really am glad they maintain because I invariably will take it to avoid the light. It's not that I'm trying to avoid the light. I'm trying to avoid the congestion downtown, especially at certain times of the day. And that little road by the railroad is a good little thing, that's all. And I hope maybe I didn't hear well, but when it was mentioned that the snow removal wasn't going to happen, I was going, oh, geez, that's kind of stupid. I mean, I'm to myself. I didn't mention it out loud, but I am now because I think if we get 15 or 20 cars out of the congestion downtown, it's a good thing. An hour or what, however. So I was going to suggest that we put a counter on that road before you decide not to plow it, so you know how many people actually use it. But if we're going to maintain the plowing anyway, then okay. I am, because I'm an environmentalist, I am a proud environmentalist, and we're redoing the garbage. We're thinking about trying to go with Hampton, and I heard that Hampton is really into recycling. Well, we can go down our streets and see some houses are putting out more recycling than I think is allowed. And I wonder, do we have a record of how many stickers have been sold
There's no limit on recycling.
No, I mean garbage. I'm talking garbage and recycling and...
Well, they're two different things. There's no limit.
I'm aware of that, yeah.
But we don't keep a record of the recycling. We do have a record.
Don't we have a record of how many tonnage, what our tonnage is?
The tonnage, yes.
Okay.
We file that every year.
But what I assume is what's going on is people are not putting their recycling out as recycles, they're putting it out as garbage. And if we're going to be effective in this recycling versus garbage, and, you know, it makes me mad that I'm trying to put every little can out in recycle, and somebody down the street just chucks it all together. And we can't do that. We got to have enforcement of whatever the law is. So I thought maybe if we had the tonnage from years back, the recycling, we get profit from that, don't we?
We have the grant, yes.
Hmm?
By way of the recycling.
We're not selling our recycling.
No.
No. That's, I think,
is that what you mean?
I thought we were...
It's being sold, but the garbage company weighs that against what the costs are to us for dumping it.
Right.
It used to be that recycling was a valuable commodity where you could sell it and you'd actually make money on it. No longer. Now, whatever that is, it just saves us money in the tipping fees.
Okay. So but what I'm getting at is if we have to learn, if our community has to get with the program, they shouldn't be doing this, putting their recycling with the garbage.
There's no doubt that the more you recycle, the less that the garbage will cost, and the more it will save the taxpayers themselves.
Right.
No doubt.
That's my point. But is anybody checking up on it?
When the garbage companies notice that, I mean, they don't physically open garbage bags, but if a garbage bag should be torn and they notice a recycling in the garbage, they do leave it there. And then they call us and tell us, so-and-so address, we didn't take his garbage because he has...
Really?
Yes.
I didn't... I'm glad to know that.
And then does the code enforcement officer, you know...
Well, typically, we get a complaint from the resident first, before that even happens, and then we just tell them to separate the two, and I'd say 9 out of 10 times it goes away.
And what was your statement a few minutes ago about 93% of some kind of appliance? I didn't...
Oh, that's our landlord-tenant registration.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was concerning recycling, but I couldn't hear the topic at issue. I'm sorry to, you know, that means if the landlord is cited.
No, this has to do with the annual landlord-tenant registration requirements, where they have to notify the borough of the current property owner, the current
okay.
tenant,
all
that
right.
type of
got
thing.
Got it.
These are for rental properties only.
Right. Okay. One more. This is it. Sorry. Could you put this page on the back of that? I know this is petty, but if it's possible, because we're just doubling our trash, just like that, and not, it's very nice, but could we, for these meetings? Thank you.
Richard, could we request Blue Diamond to spot check? There's nothing against the
level
of the
driver. I
don't know. No way. If it's out
there,
look, it's out there.
No, it's
almost by the curb,
I think.
Actually, there's some question as to whether the...
Let's live for once. Let's do something right.
Put it on a curb. Well, wait. Let me give you the answer.
All right.
There's some suggestion that the police can do it, but I don't see any reason why... Under these circumstances, it would present a problem.
For an awareness, I absolutely agree with Mrs. Sloan. People might get a little bit lackadaisical in their efforts to save the earth. So with our due diligence that they know the wilderness spot check or somebody is every once in a while, can't hurt.
So who's
going to
do
garbage
people?
Garbage guy.
The rest of the you're going to have the garbage men stop and open garbage bags. Good luck.
No, they can just...
That's very negative. You're a sustainable energy guy. You're always in that green earth stuff.
Yes,
why
you but I'm telling you, have you watched the schedule that these guys are on? You're going to want them to stop and open...
Somebody's got to check.
Somebody's got to do it. I don't watch these guys because I'm at another place of work.
I'm telling you.
Now, anyway, I think it was legitimate and feasible. They might have a program already. Who knows? If you don't ask, you don't know. You can just sit there and like a lump on a log.
I'd like to see everybody just
it really drives me nuts not to, to try my best to get everything
absolutely
in the little spot,
absolutely,
and then have some slob down the street go, ah, throw it out.
Well, to add to that, not only that, but I'd like to find out if the truck is truly empty when they enter the borough. Nobody waiting for the truck to come into the borough. Who knows if the truck is half full or half empty when they come in here? Right. But well, we don't know if it came in half full or half empty.
Yeah.
That's another can of worms.
That's a good thought. Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, I'll accept a motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Councilman Boyle, would you like to make a motion in regards to your suggestion for the garbage men to check the bags?
Okay, I go that far, then I would like to make a motion that if they fit on their own schedule so it doesn't delay pickup, use your head, you're the professional, spot check every once in a while just to report back to the Borough of Washington how effective we are in our recycling.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion in that?
Well,
yes. Good idea, but are they going to charge us anymore? Would that be out of the contract?
Well, it's definitely not in our contract now. I have to call and find out. I'm not going to instruct them to do it until I find out if there's a cost associated with it.
Yeah, but maybe you could just make it like a request.
Can we amend
I think
it?
That was very,
pending?
Yeah.
It was a sealed bid. You can't amend this one.
No, I mean amending the motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Oh, yeah,
because
it's going to be
cost,
like $10
a bag.
Well, maybe we could phrase it in a way that would not specifically instruct them to open the bags.
We're interested in seeing how well our town's doing.
Yeah, and also to make reasonable efforts to determine whether compliance is being accomplished with respect to the town's recycling goals by making reasonable observations of the efforts made by citizens.
And I think if I'm correct, I just spoke to Rich a while ago about this topic, that if they are found when they go to the dump and they find recyclables in trash, the dime is also liable for that. That may behoove them to actually check the bags themselves to cover their rear end as well. Am I correct in assuming that?
That's they get fined.
I know they are, because I sometimes will have to leave like very early in the morning for work, and I will call in, and my sister also has a permit, so she can park because of the tree and the walnuts and stuff. So yeah, they check it.
Okay, good. Sometimes I come home, you know, late or something. All these cars on the road. I know at 3 o'clock they have to be gone. I was curious. I hope they are gone. That's all. For snow removal and all that.
Do we have any more comments on Mr. Boyle's motion?
What has been amended?
Yeah. Well, the amended motion. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That brings us to Ordinance 8-2011 for introduction.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I do.
Sir.
I believe at one time Councilman Higgins asked about would the stop sign be taken down on that little street between Lincoln and Broad for use here. Right.
Oh.
Remember that, David? The stop signs are going to stay, right?
Well, ultimately, if
the agreement with Norfolk, yes. Okay. Roll call, please.
Wilm?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Travis?
Yes.
Kleba?
Yes.
McConnell?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
An ordinance amending chapter 85 of the borough's ordinances to include additional stop intersections.
Just so everybody knows, that's at Lambert and
Wayne?
Wayne. Putting in new stop signs, so Lambert and Wayne.
And I would accept a motion to approve on first reading.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Wilm?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Travis?
Yes.
Kleba?
Yes.
McConnell?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Valentine?
Yes.
Public hearing of ordinance 8/2011 will be November 14, 2011, and advertisement of a public hearing in Star Gazette on October 27, 2011.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on that? And a roll call.
Hagan?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yep.
Valentine?
Yes.
McConnell?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Travis?
Yes.
Kleba?
Yes.
That brings us to our reports.
Make a motion to receive, file, and report as presented.
Second. Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
Sure, yes.
Who said sure? Okay, Mr. Higgins, first off. Yeah, I heard that first.
I was talking about the CFO's tax collection report. The third quarter report. The taxes are starting to come up, as we talked about, that's where we were. I'm still concerned about the sewer rate.
That was my question, too. Like, what are we doing about getting that other 15%? Like, with taxes, we have the reserve for uncollected taxes.
Correct.
But we don't have anything.
Delinquency notices go out quarterly to all people who are delinquent in their sewer taxes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right,
and so like at the end of the year, though, like what do we do to make up that shortfall?
Well, and the sewer's a little bit harder because it doesn't have a true line item for like reserve for uncollected taxes the way the current fund does. In this instance, I wouldn't worry too much because the amount of revenue that's come in has actually been increased, even though the collection rate is lower, primarily because some of our larger industrial users, due to the volume that they're using, their fees have increased to offset it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried about a deficit in the sewer
okay.
budget.
Continue on my question with that, if I could.
Sorry.
Tax sales are in November, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do these become tax liens and go on the tax sale?
Only if they're delinquent in...
6 months.
Is it 6 months or is it a year?
I think it's 6 months.
Yeah. These do become, go on a tax sale. We sell them with the tax.
Right. I just...
After 6 months.
Same as...
I think it's 6 months. Is it? Yeah.
I thought it was a year.
We're selling last year.
Last year, this year.
This year.
Yeah.
But 6 months after.
And that would be in November.
And usually when the notice for tax sale goes out is when everyone comes rushing in to make sure their property is not on the tax sale.
I'm sorry, I can't follow a conversation when you're really interested.
Is that it, Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Jewell.
I'm looking at the highway department, I think the name overview. The second to last paragraph, I see there were 2 men assigned on the 23rd and 30th to dump a large garbage container located at 21 Broad Street, because the sanitation company was unable to do so because it stood up in the lift. There are 2 guys in the truck. What could Blue Diamond dump that? Why do we devote 2 of our road department?
No, we assisted them to get it into their vehicle.
Okay.
The problem is someone had dumped something in there, and it was too heavy for the truck to lift.
Okay.
So we gave them a hand. They called us and asked them if we could give them a hand.
Okay. We should just double check all those. I know there's a container on Church Street, actually, down by Star Plaza, that could be home, too. A couple of times I've seen that, it's never been empty. There's one in the corner of Belvedere and Church, or Belvedere and Church. And I think there's also one closer to Quick Check, too, a little further down.
Belvedere and Church.
Yeah.
You say container, you mean the trash receptacles?
That's
about
right. What happened is someone dumped some huge piece of metal in there. I don't know what it was. And the 2 guys that were there couldn't lift, because it's like a sleeve.
Yeah.
They couldn't lift it out. So they asked for help to help them get it out.
Yes.
They, per the contract, and I spoke with them a couple weeks ago, they're supposed to empty the downtown receptacles twice a week.
Yes, and I was going to say...
Problem, I was going to say, the problem we're having is you empty it on today, tomorrow's full.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Yeah, I have a question. On the same piece of paper with the highway department, the last paragraph says two men were assigned to remove files from the archives and set them up for disposal. Just what were those? Yeah, I'm sure they were out of date.
Every year or so, we have to purge our files in order, in accordance with our state records retention schedule. Once we decide which files have to get destroyed and which ones don't, we take them to the county to have them incinerated.
Okay, so what? Which ones were these?
I don't know off the top of my head. We filed the list with the state.
State
has to approve it.
I'm just concerned because we're doing the forensic audit right now.
The minimum, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, Christine, 6 years?
That's right.
Yes, 6 years. So none of the years that are have anything to do with
that
current
was my
project.
Question. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports.
Although it's not on the agenda, we did have a sewer subcommittee meeting yesterday. Would you like to report or would you like to verbally?
Could you give it to us verbally?
Okay. Patrick and I met yesterday with the engineer. We were over a couple things that have been open since our last meeting, like the industrial user permits, the BASF and TWIST. What Andrew is working on is he has to provide a report to the DEP by July of next year as to what potential chemicals that our commercial properties could be dumping into our sewer that can't be treated. So he said right now BASF, and I think it was just BASF, has provided MSDSGs to the sewer plant for what it is that they, what chemicals they dump into our sewer system. Let's see, we talked about the INI reduction. Andrew was, he said that he had talked with Kevin Shout, and this is something that concerned me because Kevin said at the one meeting that we were at that he had started placing the inserts that they were going around doing that. Andrew said that he talked to him last week and that they were still in measurement stage, but he wasn't sure if they had gotten the stock ones in and had a special order of them. So he wasn't sure on that. But that's continuing. We have 600 manholes throughout the borough, and when these 100 are placed in, we will have put inserts in 200. It's quite a big number. We talked a lot about the South Prospect Gardner Court site. We went over Andrew's plans, and we discussed in the back, thank you, sir, you're welcome, he has a cost breakdown, and he said some of that work might be able to be done in-house, like putting the fence up. Maybe ordering the emergency generator straight from the manufacturer, saving some money. He's going to go back and redo this cost estimate as to what he thinks can be done in-house and how it can be done if we order piece by piece and then have somebody put it in and install it, that how much it would save. Right now, the current project costs $225,000. And I think he said we could knock about $30,000 out of it. And he's going to go back and review that. He's also going to do a workup as to what it would cost the borough for him to oversee the project. Now, we don't have any money for that right now, so where are we going to get the money from? I would think it may be sewer tax money. But we'll get back to that. We also talked about the Beethoven Avenue construction. Everybody knows we didn't receive any bids. Andrew's suggestion is that maybe we go out for bids over the winter so it would be ready to be worked in the spring.
That's what we're doing.
Instead of waiting until the spring to go out for bids, go out for them now, I guess.
I thought the manager said in the winter he would do it.
Or, if we don't get any bids again, he mentioned something about negotiating with a contractor. And combining Green Street with Beethoven Avenue to make it more, no.
Not, if you get no bids, there's certain provisions in the public contracts law, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that if you get no bids, say for two times in a row, you can negotiate. But if you want to include Green Street, you're changing the bid. You can't negotiate Green Street into it. You'd have to go back out again. If you want to incorporate both into one, Green Street specs have to be developed, and Beethoven's are there, you have to go out together.
We didn't talk about that. All right, let's see here. Yeah. He hasn't heard anything on that yet. The wastewater management plan, he submitted it on time, he went to the meeting in Franklin Township. He has no idea what's going on. The state has not gotten back to him yet. He's going to check on that. He's going to follow up on that. We also discussed the quick check connection, which I guess now is a moot point. And we talked about the Pleasant Valley Mill Dam. Now, as everybody remembers, he submitted a proposal for three phases. You know, the last phase was the oversight and
construction
engineering of the demolition of the dam. We took that out. Now, we talked yesterday whether or not it's going to be cost effective to leave it there or to take it out. Based on what he, for him to continue, he has to do the engineering. Now, he also said that the engineering has to be sent down to Trenton, to DEP, for them to approve. So what he comes up with, Trenton might modify to say, listen, you have wetlands there, you have to modify this. You have this here, you know, you might have to modify this. You have this here, you might have to modify that. So after he does that, he might come back and say, you know what, it's going to be cheaper just to keep it. But he also talked about the county redoing that road, and that's a county road. So what he would like to do is coordinate with the county that when they redo that road, if we're going to take that down, that we do it in conjunction to save a little cost on our end. But he still has to go forward with the engineering documentation, which he's going to provide a proposal to the council at the first meeting in November as to what the cost is going to be to do that. The bottom line is this, we need to do something. We need to either tear it down or fix it. And we won't know.
Because the state said so. But now the state can turn around and say, oh, you're better off keeping it there?
No, we can say that.
Right now we're non-compliant.
Right, that's why I thought we were here. Right. Doing all this.
So what he's saying is that with that stream goes into a Category 1, wetlands are involved. There's a lot of aspects to that construction site that could really jack up the cost. And looking at overrun, it might take 10 years to pay it back if you just leave it as is and just maintain the dam. The county, I think it's the bridge, David.
Is it the bridge?
Yeah, the county has the right with the bridge. They're going to be working on it. So I'm going to reach out to the county engineer and see what their status on with that bridge that's right over the dam. Maybe put the two together.
Mm-hmm.
If that's allowable.
Excuse me. I'm quite familiar
with
that dam. Isn't it just huge?
High one.
Spillways.
Yeah, but it's just, it's a...
Cement.
It's cement with boards dropped in it. It's like oak or something that... And what they did when they ran the mill for that was the mill pump, they did the water level by taking the board out, putting the board back. That was it. So I don't know what the huge...
DEP regulations, Mrs. Sloan.
Well, it's sad because the boards... Board dam. It's not like the earthen dam and
no.
Et cetera, it's boards.
Correct.
How would they know if
we're registered with with the state, with the DEP, they know we have that dam, and they come out and they inspect the dam. Now, they either have to be in full repair, or you got to take them down. But you have to get permission to take them down. And what effect that is going to have environmentally on the area surrounding the dam. So Andrew could come up with a plan to take it down that might cost, I don't know. He didn't mention any numbers. Whatever. But once he sends that plan down to DEP, they say you have to do A, B, and C, come back, it could triple the cost by the improvements we would have to make, like for the wetlands and all that other stuff. Whereas if we just repair it, you know, it might only be a one-time cost of something smaller. But if we keep it, it gets inspected every 3 years, and every 3 years they can tell us we have more improvements. So. And then finally, the pumping station at Gardner's Court. We talked a lot about that. There were some questions about guarantees. Right, Patrick?
Yes, sir.
Guarantees, you know, what's all this, because it's a large dollar amount, and Andrew was going to have like good numbers before the budget is due, as to the effect that it would have on the homeowners down there as far as the sewage coming up, backing up in rainstorms. He assured us that this system works. There's no guarantee it will work. So my question is, what do we do then? If we put out this money, what other remedies do we have? Well, he gave us the option, I think it was ripping that main line out and re-pitching it. That could be done, but that's going to be a higher cost. His best estimate as to what's going to fix that problem is that pumping station. And he thinks he can knock about $30,000 off of it. And again, like I said, he's going to have a proposal to the council as to what the real numbers would be before the budget is due.
So this pump is essentially going to pull everything out of there fast enough that it's not going to back up. That's the premise, correct?
The premise is it goes into a well, and it's pumped out of the well. So everything will run in, fill into the well, and then be pumped out of the well. And he says that's fast. These pumps are oversized. He specifically went oversized to make sure that they would perform the way they're supposed to. The question now that we pose is the cost. And he said, let's see here, if you started in November with the process, that it could be completed by July. He's going to have the proposal to us on October 25th. By October 25th for a discussion on the first meeting in November. And that's anything, sir?
Nope, very good.
He's actually going to go dual path. He's going to look, and what I mean by that, he's going to give a cost estimate for him based on if he can reduce the prices, what it would cost us, if he can get like the generator bought straight from the manufacturer instead of going out to bid and have a contractor doing it all. So that would reduce the cost in some areas. But in some areas, he said, you know, like if you have a contractor come in to do the digging, that might cost more because that's the only portion of the job that they'll do, is digging the well. The holding tank. So he's going to do both the way it is right now at this cost, and he's going to do it at the reduced cost. And he'll have both of them to review for discussion.
Great. Okay, anything else from the sewer committee?
We used the office upstairs. Appreciate that. It worked out fine.
Any other committee reports?
I don't have an actual committee report. I just wanted the Recreation Committee has extended a formal invitation to the mayor and council members for a tour of the pool and park to help you get a better understanding of what they did this year and a perspective on what they want to do next year. So you can go on Monday, October 24th, or Thursday, October 27th at 10 o'clock.
A.M.
A.M.
Both days, A.M.?
Yes.
What are those?
Monday, October 24th, Thursday, October 27th at 10 o'clock.
Is there another time of that evening maybe?
I can't make tomorrow night's meeting, but I can, I'll send them, I'll shoot them an email.
Okay.
I'm assuming that they want to do it during the day, so you can see it better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about, do they do it on Saturday work?
I'll
I can do it Saturday, or even like 3 o'clock, until daylight till about 5, 5:30.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Hearing none, that brings us to old business, the power purchase agreement.
Well, Mayor, maybe I can give you a little background on this to bring us up to date on what's going on.
Please.
The background. If you will recall, several months ago, the borough was contacted by Community Solar, and these gentlemen who are here tonight can you hear me, by the way?
Your voice carries naturally.
Ah, see? These gentlemen made a presentation about a property located in Washington Township adjacent to the sewer plant on which they plan to build, or they propose to build, a solar facility. And the proposal that they had made to you was that this facility would be able to supply the power necessary to provide the power for the sewer plant and also for the municipal garage. The proposal that they made was that what would happen is that their power would be at a lower rate than the power you currently receive from the grid. As I recall, the grid is about 17 or 18 cents a kilowatt. And they're suggesting that if you went through with this particular proposal, the amount that you would pay would be less than that. The background is that there are certain tax benefits and tax credits and other governmental incentives that allow developers of solar power to be able to present or to produce power at a cheaper rate than the marketplace. Now, in order to do this, what would have to happen is that the borough would have to go out for bids, because this is simply an acquisition of a commodity. And when the commodity amount equals over 37, because we have a QPA, right?
36,000,
yeah. Then there would have to be bidding on the matter. So the discussion occurred at that time. They said, well, would you be interested in going out to bids? At that time, you were not interested in actually fronting the money to actually prepare the bids. And so you suggested to Washington Community Solar that they should create an escrow to help defer the engineering and attorney's fees necessary to come up with proposals. They did that, and there have been numerous discussions between these gentlemen, my office, with respect to coming up with a draft power purchase agreement and draft bidding documents. And we have spent a lot of time going back and forth on it, and you have that before you tonight. Now, what will occur tonight, if assuming that you are interested in proceeding, is that there'll be, we would like to solicit any comments or suggestions that you might have with respect to the documents. If generally your questions are answered and you're satisfied with the answers that you get here tonight, the next step in the process would actually be bids. These documents would be the basis for going out to a bid. The bid would not be limited to Washington Community Solar. It would be open to any provider of electricity,
that can come in with a lower price than is provided for, than is available to you from purchasing electricity from the grid. So basically what you have before you is the power purchase agreement. You can see there's many blanks in there, and the reason there are blanks in the documents is we don't know what the bid numbers are going to be. So you would find that out when you actually go out to bid. And you also have a form of proposal or some other documents that are attached to that. So what I would suggest, if it's agreeable to you folks, is that we allow the gentleman from Washington Community Solar to kind of give you an update on where they stand. You might be interested in how they are doing with respect to Washington Township, because you understand that in order for them to be able to develop this particular proposal, they have to successfully complete a site plan application to Washington Township. That would have to be approved. And in, as a matter of fact, as the power purchase agreement is currently structured, it would be contingent upon the successful bidder actually being able to get whatever necessary government approvals to be able to supply the power. So just in terms of process, that's where we stand. If that's where you want to move ahead, then and the concepts are okay and the language is okay, then the bid documents would actually go out to the public. People would bid. The manager would then, in the normal course, review the bids that come back and then prepare a report to you, and then ultimately you would approve the bids if that's what you're interested in doing. So.
Yeah, may I ask a question, Mayor, real quickly?
If you can hold on just 1 second. Gentlemen, would you reintroduce yourselves to us, please?
Sure. Anthony Mala and Eric Altman, and we're both managing members of the Washington Community Solar New Jersey LLC entity. I'm also happen to be an attorney, so
okay.
I'm acting in both capacities.
Thank you. Mr. Boyle, go ahead.
Thank you. Just, Dick, since you were talking about bids, going out for bids, would it have to be from another solar company? Or any type of energy, or utility energy company?
It can be from any type of energy company. Yeah. It would have to meet the specifications that we set forth here. And this particular bid is limited to the garage and also the sewer. The sewer plant, but anybody can bid on it.
Okay.
Anybody can give you a better price can bid on it.
Thank you.
Gentlemen.
Very eloquently and accurately stated by Attorney Cushings. There's really nothing left for me to say about where we were in this process here, but he alluded to us giving you an update on where we stand at the township level. Last week in a meeting there, all of our engineering was accepted for completeness. We've done all our surveying, wetlands delineations, endangered species, stormwater drainage, and anything that would be applicable to our plan. There's some discussion about landscaping buffers from the township standpoint, but we expect to work through that with the city planner. And it appears that while the size of the system has not yet been completely pinned down, it looks like we'll be matching the borough's use with the size of the proposed project at the township. We're thinking it'll be somewhere between 800,000 kilowatts or 750,000 kilowatt right. system, which will match up very well with your system. Attorney Cushing stated that your rate was about 17 cents or so. We have done a quick analysis, actually a rather thorough analysis, and you have a blended rate, and it appears from the blended rate that your current electricity rate is about 17.5 cents. So when you're evaluating bids for alternative power and cost, I think that would probably be the measure that you're going to compare against, 17.5 cents per kilowatt. Anything other than that at the township level, you know, will be discussed in the review and the next presentation, but we're anticipating cooperation from their standpoint.
The one thing that strikes me here is, let's say we go out to bid and somebody comes in with a lower bid. Are they taking over your project or what you've designed there, or how
no.
how would that work?
No, this is what we're doing is we saw an opportunity with the underutilized property that's immediately adjacent to the plant. And we saw it as an opportunity to be able to create a solar array or a solar farm there that would be able to supply power to the sewage treatment facility and the municipal garage. Anybody else bidding would have to figure out a way in order to be able to deliver on the level of electricity at a rate that would be competitive to either what we potentially be bidding or what you're currently paying. As Attorney Cushing was saying, there's certain incentives that are in place right now for clean energy that allow a developer to come in and construct such a site, and it benefits private developers as opposed to municipalities and not-for-profits who can't take advantage of the tax incentives that are being provided for this. And because of that, we're able to construct and take the risk of constructing such an array. And the cost of electricity, once it's constructed, is current because the sun is the sun. So the overall cost of it is significantly less than what's being supplied to you right now by the grid. And it's just intended to provide a incentive for almost like a win-win type of a situation where you...
So if I understand it correctly, let's just say you're not the winning bidder for correct. Whatever reason. Somebody else would have to come up with the property to install the solar panels on to supply us with that amount of energy someplace else, and your project would still go ahead and you would look for someone else to supply the energy to sell it back to the grid?
I think what we're doing here is unnecessarily limiting it to our property and the solar farm. I think the intent of the bid process is to solicit electricity from brokers and anybody else in any way, shape, or form can deliver power to the borough. There are people out there that will make reductions in cost based on commitments and contracts and such that are welcome to bid.
Okay, Joe Blow Electric Company can come in and
anybody
bid
can.
0.9 cents per
this
kilowatt
is
hour.
A healthy way to get us to our lowest price and make sure that we don't lose an opportunity to supply the borough with electricity.
Right, but there's in order to supply from clean energy source, the amount of electricity that's used by the sewage treatment facility on the municipal garage, you'd have to have at least 6 or 7 acres of land in order to do that, or potentially have a wind farm somewhere that could connect into the borough facilities. But the unique portion of it is that, in essence, we've taken a little bit of risk by financing this property to be able to do exactly what this use is intended to be.
Okay.
Yeah, just to give you background, we didn't think we could limit the bids just to these gentlemen's project, and we didn't think that was in the public interest.
I interpreted it as it was just a solar project in here, perhaps because I was too close to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the way it came about, and that's the way it was originally presented, and it may well be that these gentlemen would prefer it to be a little bit more narrow so as to eliminate competition, but that's not really what the borough's interest is. Mm-hmm. And their bet, as they've indicated, is that they're going to be able to come in with numbers that are much lower than anybody else. I don't think anybody else is going to be able to have a similar project because they just don't have the land. But you could get competition from like Viridian Energy, these companies that come around. I think there was a presentation here to the borough at one point in time about one of the providers. What they do is they enter into contracts with bulk suppliers of electricity. It's delivered through the power lines through JCP&L, but they have a contract that allows a little lower rate than you would pay. So they could bid, and that would be something that would be competitive, and if they can come in with a lower price, your goal is to get the lower price. And that's what we're talking about.
Right. And I guess I was just too close to it and misunderstood that it was just going to be solar that we were talking about.
It's a good time to visit this issue because we're uniquely positioned with the incentives, as Eric was describing, to come in at this low rate. So if you're going to go through a bid process, Now's a great time because next year the program may change, may lose tax incentives that would allow us not to be anywhere near this rate. So you may as well bid it out to everyone and let us put our best foot forward. This is actually because solar is giving you this competitiveness because it's right next door. It's a great time to ask everybody what their price is.
Right.
Yeah, a couple of other things, just so you know. The way solar works, and again, I'm no expert on this, but obviously solar works when the sun is available. The sun, as we all know, is not available all the time. So what happens is they provide the electricity when they have the electricity. When they don't have the electricity, the grid supplies the electricity. So you don't completely eliminate the grid costs from this particular system.
I think we discussed that last
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's a common misnomer. Yeah. I think you're doing well.
Right, just so to point that out. Yeah. The other thing that there's a lot of uncertainties, obviously, in this market. You know, 5 years ago, who would have thought we would have had somebody coming in and offering to generate electricity for us from a solar farm, you know? So you don't know where all this goes. Now, you also don't know what the price of electricity is going to be in 5 years or 10 years, right. All right? Now, the way this is, there's two ways that this could be bid. You can either bid it so somebody says, well, it's always going to be 5 cents under the grid rate, or you can say, give me a flat rate because I assume the grid rate is going to go up. This has been structured in a way that so that it's a flat price, so that if the grid rate goes up to 20 cents, you're making a greater profit. If the grid rate drops down to 14%, then the difference between what you're going to be paying these guys, which is going to be fixed throughout the contract, is going to be less. Now, the one thing that we insisted upon in connection with this was that you never be in a situation where the grid rate is lower than the rate you would be getting from these suppliers, okay? So in other words, you wouldn't want to have a situation where somehow there's some miracle in 10 years, the cost of electricity drops, and you're stuck into a contract for 15 years at a higher rate. So there is a floor in the bid proposals that would say that at no time, will the rate ever
be above?
Yeah, let me phrase it correctly. If the grid rate drops to a rate that's below the rate in the bid, then they have to match that rate. Okay. So in other words, let's just give an example. The grid rate is at 17. Let's say, just for purposes of argument, the number bid is 10 cents a kilowatt. Okay. If the grid rate drops to 9 cents a kilowatt, they have to match the 9 cents a kilowatt.
We're here tonight to talk about the bid or this agreement. This agreement's written for your company, right?
No.
It's written for
any... It's a bid contract. It's a bid...
That's
a
power purchase agreement.
That's a bid contract.
That's a power purchase agreement.
A power provider is...
Whoever the winning bidder is.
Whoever the successful
the winning
bidder is.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. No. These
we'd like to be the power provider.
Yeah.
All
right. I got a question though.
Yeah. And just to finish up, but Pat, just so you know, I got the website. Right. Yep. Just to finish up, the purpose of tonight is to see if the concepts work for you. If the concepts work for you, then the bids would actually be prepared and go out. If the concepts don't work for you, we don't go out to bids.
Understand. I think
right.
That's what we discussed.
Yep.
There's nothing in here that would preclude us from going out and still getting some discount electric company for the rest of
you're right.
Electric. Is that
you're
correct?
You're absolutely
okay.
Right.
So I just wanted to make that clear. So, okay.
You're absolutely right about that. That's a good point.
And what are our costs?
Is that true?
Well, I'm not sure I understand.
He's saying, look, we have two sources of electricity. We have a contract with you.
Right.
Where you're going to supply all the electricity that you can supply to us in order to deal...
The balance of the borrow? Is that what you're talking about? The balance of the borrow?
Yeah. In other words, but you supply all the electricity that you have to us, mm-hmm. but we're going to have electricity needs beyond that.
Right.
So his point is, in order to fulfill the electricity needs beyond right. what you can supply,
right.
if they can get a better rate from Viridian or right. somebody else for the balance, for the grid section of their electricity, they're welcome to do
it. Let me actually just address that because it's even better than that.
It's better, yeah.
That's absolutely true with respect to all the borough property, and you can sign a contract for any of that. What we're intending to do if we're the successful bidder is we're out of a 25-acre tract of which there's wetlands, and by the time you whittle it all down, there's more than enough. I wish I had enough to build it slightly bigger, but we're limited, if we do a power purchase by the Borough of Public Utility, to sort of match within a range what you're attaching it to on a net meter basis. So whatever your usage is, plus or minus about 10% is what we're allowed to build. So we're going to build it as big as we possibly can because the financial incentives are there to address all of your usage. And we base it on your last 3 or 4 years of usage, and that's how we...
But that's basically just for that location.
That location only.
The approximate,
that's all we're talking
about. Right there.
That's all
because our electric costs beyond that, I mean, just our traffic...
I wish I could put one up on the roof,
stuff.
And I wish
it's,
I could
yeah.
put one, you know, in all those other places, but
right.
that's not what we're talking about.
Okay.
And Rich, we'll have to have our engineer look at this as well to see what's our connection.
The engineer has already participated in this.
Yeah. There's cost of where you go with solar, then there's cost of the borough to connect to the solar.
Mr. Boyle, let me address that.
Go, please do.
We undertake the entire cost of the entire project. And what that means is, on the, I have a site plan, but without getting too detailed, the vast majority of the array is on our property.
Okay.
And so almost everything is on our property. Then there are wires, right? So it's the pipe that's going to feed the electricity. That's going to go through a to-be-determined right-of-way, which can be overhead or underground, whatever you prefer, connecting. It's got to whittle its way to each one of your two existing meters. We do both buildings, right? Let's just take the sewage treatment facility. There's going to be a wire that's going to go to the sewage treatment facility's meter. That meter gets replaced by JCP&L with a new net meter, which is an electronic fancier meter, and it goes spins forwards and spins backwards. And we're going to be supplying, on an average annual basis, at least as much as what your requirements are. But then to get into this net meter without going too far into detail, during the day we're probably going to produce 2 or 3 times what we need on a sunny
right.
day, that what you're drawing. So the meter's going to actually spin backwards, right? And the net meter's going to keep track of that. And then at night, when the sewage treatment facility's working, but the array's not producing any electricity, it's going to spin the other way. But the idea is that you size the panels so that during the average hours of radiance during a particular day... Exactly.
Right, so that kind of goes back to your question when you asked about the other supplier
mm-hmm.
for the additional usage when we're not producing power. You need to be signed up with someone, but if we're producing the amount of power that is the system supposed to produce, you shouldn't have a bill associated with anyone else.
Right. And then the interconnection on stuff.
But you know, the freedom to choose your electricity manufacturer or your supplier outside of the PPA is potentially, we have to verify this, potentially might have to be JCP&L direct.
Mm-hmm. At that location.
At that location. Because they may not allow the net metering to go through with a third-party supplier of electricity.
Right.
So I think you asked the question.
That's a good clarification.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. And, but your other facilities, whoever it is that you want to buy power from, you buy power from. But the net metering should bring even.
So, and even putting those wires over on your side of the property, digging the trench or putting a pole up, that's
we pay for that.
That's
all part of our cost.
I have a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Should we bring a chair
on? Yeah, if I could just walk through the... I'm
going to
go in order. So you've already reviewed it then. You don't have any concerns or recommendations? This is...
The language is acceptable to us.
Okay. On the page, this is, I've been kind of going, it's towards the back, the access agreement,
mm-hmm.
When we're talking about the bidder. So do we have to do a minimum bid? Do we set dollar amount like on other things, or no? This is because it's power utility. You don't, when you go out for the bid, do we have to put a minimum bid?
You don't have. You don't got to sell it.
Okay. On page 2, under the definitions, and it's mentioned elsewhere in the agreement, like, what happens if there is a fourth, how do you say
it's
that? Fourth
meter, it's an active guy.
Yeah.
It's a fancy Latin term for active guy that people use in agreements
right.
when there's an active guy. There's limited instances where there's where force majeure or active guy, and that's where we're excused from our obligation. However, we do have a minimum delivery obligation that is 25%. We have to deliver at least 25%. 75%. 25% give in what your utility needs were based on the immediately prior year when we made your okay. So, for example, just to use round terms, you used about 800,000 kilowatt hours, right? So that's what you multiply by the rate. We're going to have a minimum delivery obligation subject to force majeure, but a minimum delivery obligation to you of 75% of that. Okay. You do not...
Annually.
You wanted to keep, you wanted to actually keep it fairly even-handed, but still benefit the borough, because you can understand it's a complicated type of an arrangement, where you don't have an obligation to actually, you know, purchase a minimum. We're going to supply you whatever you need, and we're going on the basis that you're going to continue somewhere in the neighborhood of what you've been using, take from us, but you don't have the same reciprocal requirements to actually have to buy it from us. You're supposed to buy from us. Your obligation is to buy from us at the contract rate, if we are the successful bidder.
So if this this natural disaster occurs, and then you can't, you don't have to, you're kind of out of it then, we don't have to pay you anymore, and we use our backup.
Well, right, and so as part of this whole net meter, you never come off of the current grid that you're on right now.
Okay.
The meter just basically has another input, and it will take the solar array first, right? And as much as the solar array gives you, if it produces too much, like we were talking about, then it spins backwards. But if we go down completely, and we're down for 6 months, let's say, God forbid, or something bad happens where we're down, all right? The grid will continue to, and you'll be at the exact rate you're at today, or whatever the applicable rate is. If it happens 6 months from now, it's the
17.5%. That was a conservative figure on our part.
Right.
Eric and I discussed, you know, for the group, what figure would we be comfortable with? And we said, look, 75% of the power here would be comfortable. We should never go down for anything close to that, but we would rather deliver more and, you know, under promise and over deliver in this particular case. So it's also our best interest to get it up and running, because if we're not
And so you're pretty confident, giving us this fixed rate then, that the other utility rate is going to consistently go up every year. I'm kind of trying to figure out, what's our guarantee that this is always going to be the cheapest for us?
Correct. All right. And so I'll say that I'm not aware of utility rates going down
at
any particular time. Having said that, we've assumed a 5% increase, which I think the historic average has been close to 7.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So these numbers, if anything, are somewhat conservative. So we're projecting out based on, and again, this is, we plugged in 9 cents per kilowatt. You're paying about 17.5. So we feel somewhat comfortable, although I'm not saying that's what our bid is. We feel somewhat comfortable projecting that that's in the neighborhood of about where we'll be.
Okay.
So that you can see what we're talking about.
Right. Okay. My other question on Section 6.1b, did the borough obtain all the authorizations, consents, approvals, et cetera? Like, do we need to go?
What you'll need to do, if you do this, is to obviously receive consent from you folks, yourself, to go out to the bids, and then to actually award the bids. That's all there really is.
Okay, so, it's not like we have to go to...
There's no permitting we have to do.
Land, yes.
No, we don't have to do any of that type of stuff,
okay,
because it's all in Washington Township. It's not our land, and that's their responsibility.
All right, my other question is that same section, but D. Like, do we have any ideas how much we're still going to be paying every month for the local power provider, you know, for that grid energy?
I'm
hoping it'll be zero. It'll be zero.
But you can have a contract, but you're not paying anything. You can have a zero bill, in other words.
No, what you're going to be paying per month now. You're paying, like right now, you're paying approximately...
No, do we need to pay them a fee by saying, you know, we might need your power, you know?
Yeah,
no.
I see your
point. It may vary from commercial, but I have it at my own farm, and I pay $2 a month. There might be some type of...
Minimum fee.
Customer
fee, okay,
or whatever, but it's going to be...
Peanuts. Okay. And then I just had 2 points. It's not necessarily questions, but since this agreement is for any PPA, once we go out to bid, I do have a problem with the 15-year contract, because solar energy is so new. So does it have to say 15 years in there, since it could be any provider that could get this bid?
Well, I think you should address that. There are reasons why, to be honest with you, almost every... We're having these solar things come up in every one of our towns. This is the really hot area going on. And traditionally, they're a minimum of 15. That's what a power purchase agreement
is. Minimum 15.
And sometimes they're 18. They're usually not any more time than that, because people say the panels only have a useful life of about 18 years.
I don't know how anybody figures that out, but that's the claim.
It's actually the panels have a 25-year guarantee, believe it or not. They degrade by about a
percent
a year. But it's the inverters that actually
inverters,
have closer
okay.
to. And that's what changes
yep.
the DC energy into AC. And that's what then puts it. So if it goes from the panel, produces DC energy, then they all go into one inverter. The inverter converts it over to AC, and then it goes into the one. That's basically how it works. But the inverters only have about it. And they're the second most expensive component beyond after the panel. The panel mm-hmm. is by far the most expensive.
And I guess if you just explain that Section 5-8, the energy metering, right? I mean, I kind of have issues that the borough has no right to withhold invoice payment. So is that would only be, so you're always guaranteeing us to have, we're going to get that.
Well, it would be like if you didn't pay JCP&L. I mean, if we submit, the meter will be right there, there'll be a meter reading, and JCP&L actually will, be sending you a meter reading as we will, but you'll be able to see it right there.
Okay.
And we're going to send you in, and it'll say,
you use this
X amount of kilowatt hour, just like what you have now, and then now you have a transmission rate and a basic generation and a bunch of other taxes that go on it. We're just going to say X amount of kilowatt hours times, let's say, 9 cents, pay us that amount.
Okay. All right. That's all I had. Thanks.
I have a question for you, Eric. What taxes are added to your electricity that
we're,
would be...
We're not going to add any tax.
Okay.
They're
still working on some of that from the state level, the mm-hmm. program, so right. what they're going to consider taxable and non-taxable is really not yet...
No, I think he's talking about is there sales tax or anything.
Right, like when we get our bill.
Not your property taxes.
If we were bidding this tonight, right, and we submitted a bid,
right.
we'd say X cents, let's say it's 9 cents. That's what you bet. You're not paying 9 cents plus.
No, no hidden fees.
That's
are there taxes on the electricity that you
not
produce?
Sales tax
right.
That I'm aware of, but the I think it's actually exempt. But
it's income comes in income.
No, I understand. I don't mean your
yeah.
taxes. I mean taxes that the government imposes on the consumer of the electricity.
Not that I'm aware of.
Right.
We can all check.
But we have to pay taxes on some of the electricity we get from the grid, right?
Correct, but those are all passed by the Board of Public Utilities.
Okay.
This is not, we are not required to
I see.
Tax
okay. I got it. Okay.
I'd actually like to discuss a little bit about that minimum purchase that you talked about, just for clarification. In the discussions, the borough is not required to have a minimum amount of power purchased from the system, but I think that it's written that all of the power that's consumed
right.
from those two buildings
correct.
Would be
yours.
Right. No,
whoever wins the bid.
Right.
So, the question would be, just for clarification, whether that's getting split up or there's anything in the agreement that suggests that they could buy some power from here and some power from...
No.
And that's notwithstanding any potential increase in usage at either of these two locations, because all of a sudden we can have like...
Let's say when your pumps go down
we're going to supply
as much as we can.
Okay.
Because frankly, from our perspective, I can't speak for anybody else, there's a financial incentive to build as big as possible. I wish I could build a full megawatt.
Or if you start to get more efficient pumps that come down the road when you're making replacements, more energy efficient equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't be a requirement to keep up with what we're originally estimating.
We were talking about the bottom price, that if the grid goes down to a certain level, you will at least meet that. And you mentioned that JCP&L is the only meter that you believe you can use right now.
No, JCP&L controls your meter.
Right.
And so this solar, whether it be wind or any kind of renewable energy, is subject to what they call the interconnection and net meter rules. And so your local provider, in this case the public utility provider, is JCP&L, because they have the region.
Right. So that's what you
they
use.
They are the ones who are
bottom.
In charge of transmission of
right.
electricity, and your meter is part of the transmission, and the rule about it being a meter that needs to be read and has to go meter and net meter. It was designed so that the utility companies who don't like this so much, because now, that they have to play ball,
right.
to allow this to happen.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the bottom end number is going to be that JCP&L number or whatever successor
so
may be to it, as opposed to, Joe Blow's electric company that can do it for
right.
2 cents cheaper.
That's correct.
Yeah. JCP&L publishes what they call a cost to compare rate.
Right.
So that's the rate that we would be using.
It's actually the rate that they're, whatever the rate is that the utility is charging, because there's many components. But that's the rate, including the taxes, the, you know, public usage charge, or every other, you know, you're paying at least 17 and a half, probably more when they figure out what the taxes are. And in the summer, you're paying over 19 cents.
Mr. Higgins, you have that look on your face.
Of course I do. Pretty dizzy, sir.
Well, I don't think you've explained everything quite adequately as far as I'm concerned, but I do have questions regarding a previous executive session tonight. And I think the question that I'm going to ask is, are you requesting a vote to prepare this document to go out?
Yeah. If you want to proceed ahead, then you would direct the manager to go ahead and put it out to bid.
Okay. Well, I have.
Doesn't that need to be a resolution, though?
Before I'm willing to make my decision, I have some questions that need to be answered by going back into the executive session.
Okay.
So, if we could just. I mean, we can make a decision tonight, but I would like to go back and discuss something that we discussed.
Okay. Traditionally, we don't go into executive session when we go out to bid, but...
It has nothing to do with going out to bid.
Okay. Okay.
I just have some questions that have to do with what we're discussing in the executive session.
Do you believe Mr. Mola and Mr. Altman should be included in that, or...?
No.
Okay.
And it's
nothing
personal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just have one question I need to ask.
Yeah,
right.
I just
wanted to clarify. We can't address it.
Right? Be
friendly. Okay.
Okay. I wish you could.
We encourage you to do whatever it is that makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah, at that point.
Whatever it is that you need to
do. We're just voting, like this asked before, just on this agreement proposal to go out to bid.
Correct.
Why is there a company here discussing this?
I suggested that they come in. Because...
But they might not even get it.
That's
right,
correct.
That's
so
correct.
Why are they here?
The reason
we were the guys that shut you up.
That's a very legitimate question. It would be very similar to discussions that the fire company might have with the manufacturer of the fire truck before the bids go out in order to educate
right.
you to the process.
I'm a fire.
In other words, look... We've written a set of bid specifications that are objective, okay? Anybody can bid for them in that regard. The manager, I know, had sort of a question, should these guys come in or not come in? I wanted them to come in because I wanted you to be able to hear answers to technical questions I couldn't answer. And you have to make a judgment call as to going forward. Do you believe that you're going to get a better price on electricity going forward if you enter into this agreement or if you don't enter into the agreement? So if your thought is that you're better off staying where you are, that's one thing. If you're interested in considering this, there are a lot of technical issues to this that I simply can't answer. And this is a vendor who has knowledge or information that's useful, I think, to you. So my suggestion was, look, come on in. Let's see what questions people have. If these people get the bid, they get the bid. If they don't get the bid, they don't get the bid.
But you don't have final approval yet, right?
No, we do not.
You don't have final approval.
We've asked in your power purchase agreement, just by the nature of the whole process, we have to get final and preliminary and final site plan.
Right.
It's in for, you know, for a hearing.
Sure.
Right. You've given us 6 months. If we are the successful bidder to get that, otherwise you have the right to terminate the agreement or vice versa. We put that in because it's a chicken egg type of thing, and we believe that both will proceed in a manner that could have the project be successful, but in a way that we need to be able to do it, because I just can't snap my fingers, and I don't want to get a site plan approval if you guys aren't going to be potentially aware of it.
Site plan approval.
Well, in a way, how are you harmed? Because... Because you're right now, we do a bid, right? Let's just play it out. And we bid X cents, 9 cents, 50% less than what you're paying right now, right? if I don't come through, if you didn't do anything, you'd be paying the 17, 18%, 18 cents that you'd be paying right now for the next 6 months. I'm saying I'm willing to put up, and believe me, put up a decent amount of money to try and get approval, so I have to be somewhat serious or crazy. And so we're going to go in and try and get the approvals, but I need to be able to know that at the end of the day I have somebody to hook up to. And it's a completely different application if we don't.
So I think you answered this last time, but didn't you say that this would your exclusive, you know, income would come just from the boat? You're not going to be supplying to anyone in the township at all, even though your property's in the township.
You have to, just the way the grid is this entity that's the gatekeeper of the entire grid, and you have to do a completely different plan to hook into the grid directly. We're right next to high tension wire, though, which we could have used easier, but.
And the reason that we're here tonight is that, you know, we presented the idea of solar because it was going to be such a substantial amount of savings this year, which was the cause for you to shop electricity rates. After December 31st, there's an ITC, investment tax credit, that disappears potentially or turns from a rebate into credit. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but the thought process is that that has a very good chance of disappearing in January. So 30% of the cost of this system will disappear potentially in January. Our bid would be very different if we get to that point. Prior to that point, we're incorporating the idea that the system is going to cost us only two-thirds. So it's very close. If we have commitments for power purchase and preliminary approvals at the township level, we go ahead and we must become vested with the what agency it is, with the state, the federal government. We have to be vested. We have to have a financial investment in solar panels. So we're going to plop down a substantial chunk of money to then buy these panels. And that would have to occur before December 31st. So we're here tonight to, you know, share it with you, show you why these rates are so low, and maybe that's the impetus for your soliciting rates, but the whole thing could change very substantially in January. So if that helps you in your executive session to sort
things
out.
Yeah, as I understand, just say, Phil, and for the record, I had a quick discussion with the manager, and I believe the councilman's concerns are not related specifically to your proposal.
Correct.
In other words, we're not going to be discussing your proposal. No. We're going to be discussing a contractual arrangement with a different vendor who doesn't even supply electricity. So just so you understand, I think I, from what the manager told me, well, it's just the manager's figured it out.
You mean the facility, or is that the facility you're talking about?
A different facility, a different contractual obligation that the borough has. Nothing to do with you guys, but he has a concern that he wants to discuss.
The short answer is, look, there's time, you know, but at the same time, it's the year end is really sort of what's pushing it.
Do you need to break?
There's enough time.
Well, I think they'll do, and you're welcome to wait until after the executive session if you have fortitude.
Sure.
This contractor agreement, we're sure we won't run into any problems, since you mentioned the fire with that, like that audit we had with the contract that went out. Remember, it was kind of
the fire truck.
Right, yeah. That the bid was kind of...
And the comptroller's report.
Yeah. We will not have that problem with this contract.
Yeah, the comptroller said there was nothing wrong with the way it was done.
That's good. But elective time was lawful.
Well,
there was nothing legally wrong.
It wasn't for a specific company.
Yeah, let's stay on the solar here.
No, this is not... Understand.
This is very objective, that's my point.
Yeah. It was set up in a way that made it available to any bidder who can compete.
That's all I want to know.
However, having said that, there is you could see this as a unique opportunity for the borough, in the sense that these gentlemen happened to find a piece of land right next to the sewer plant, and they're the only ones that have that particular piece of land. So, obviously, it's up to you. You know, whether, you know, people can make accusations, whatever they want, but I feel that our bid specifications are objective. They are open to any bidder that can do a better price. And quite frankly, if
and
another...
And it doesn't specifically say solar, right?
No, it doesn't. It's just available for electricity.
Right.
Any bidder that can come in, and like I say, you know, some of the aggregators, or whatever they call those guys, who provide, you know, a better deal on electricity, could come in and compete. And if they can beat these guys out, you've got a great deal. And you've done extremely well.
And I'll just point out that the aggregators have been offering, and they can speak for themselves, but just generally speaking, probably a 10-15% reduction. And they don't tend to go out and guarantee their rate beyond a year or two, possibly 3 years. That's the main difference. And the one last point I guess I'll make is that with the power purchase agreement, you're basically no worse off than you are right now. You're paying your rate. We're building a fairly expensive facility, so you can almost look at it like we're financing it, and that the state carbon credits and your payment of the 9 cents or whatever it ends up being is what is the mortgage payment for that. So the state has created these carbon credits that help pay for the cost of building this facility. And then to make it all great, the federal government came in and said, it's one big 30% off sale until the end of the year. That's really the way it was.
Okay.
I have one question to ask the manager. This would be a bid, correct?
Correct.
No. Okay. We put out the proposal, we get the bids, we don't have to accept any of them.
Well, there's some debate about that, but look, if you're not interested in going ahead with this, don't do it. Don't go ahead with the bid.
If we do it, are we required to take the lowest bidder?
The lowest responsible bidder.
We are required.
Correct.
So if we do this, we say we're going to go out and bid, and we get XYZ
energy
power plant, we have to take those.
If they meet the specifications,
correct,
you must take it. That's the way you need to look at it.
Okay.
And I'm just giving you guys I'm tipping my hat a bit. This, what we've put on this piece of paper, is pretty close to the ballpark of where what you'll see if we participate.
Okay. Any more questions from council? Okay, gentlemen, if you don't mind, I'd just like to open it up to the public so that they can ask you some questions, should there be one. I know Mrs. Detlef had a question there. Ms. Detlef.
Well, I want to know if we have a natural disaster, like a tornado, and rips up all of the panels, what kind of guarantee do we as a town to get electric?
Again, the panels are, if they're affected, then they'll stop working. And if the grid is still in effect, like Hurricane Irene, and the grid was not damaged, but likely it would be. But if it wasn't, then the power for your sewage treatment plant would be coming through the grid, and you'd be paying it at a rate of what you're currently paying right now. Okay.
We have no guarantee that we're going to be covered.
No, you do.
Well,
you'll have the power.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, we don't have any recourse to go back.
You do. We must deliver at least 75%, or make up the difference to you. We will be financially responsible if we can't deliver that power.
Right. For a year's term.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
Over the span of a year, and that's what it gives us. So if we're down in that situation, you have to rebuild a portion of the panel. The panels are made to withstand softball-sized hail and hurricane winds. I mean, that's part of the,
But in this last storm, that was mostly water-related, and people were out without power, this system would, operate.
Yeah.
There were sunny days following the hurricane where everybody else was without power, and you would still have power.
Yeah, I have
during the day.
I'm up in Milton, and I have a big array in one of my back pastures, right? And it was producing energy. We didn't have power for 8 days. My panels weren't allowed to operate because they were going to put power back into the grid, and it's a safety shutoff. So it was killing me that, JCP&L couldn't get their act together to reconnect power for us because the grid was down and my panels were operating. They weren't affected at all.
I was going to say, we could put a transfer.
I know, I got it. It involved.
I was going to feel, I know all that.
All right, well, it involved taking a key out of the meter,
Anyone else in the audience have any questions? Okay, thank you,
gentlemen.
Right. Like I say, you're welcome to hang around if you want.
Yeah, we'd like to.
Sure. Okay. Got a cup of coffee?
Bring back a pizza.
Huh?
You don't have
that much more going. That's true. Yeah.
Mrs. Leva, Mass Notification System.
Okay. Hand out a couple of things. And then I'll explain more.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So after the last council meeting, I was directed to go get more information, basically. I met last week with Bill Hunt, our deputy OEM coordinator at the Warren County Communications Center. And what they use is not the quote-unquote reverse 911. They actually have a contract with another company called Rapid Notify. And if you look at the like PowerPoint presentation, that's... Call Fire is just another provider, and I gave you a little fact sheet about what they have to offer. So I'm now giving you information on One Call Now. That's information on Call Fire, and then I'm going to tell you about Rapid Notify, which the county has. Rapid Notify currently has a contract with Merrill Creek and the Warren County Communications Center. And the Communications Center found Rapid Notify to be the best deal for their needs and call volume. They have what they call a parent account because they're the county and they can send out messages to the whole county. The contract that they received allows there to be child accounts. Each municipality could get a child account. And we would piggyback basically off of the Warren County account. And we would also use the Warren County maps that they already have, the phone numbers that they already have in the system. The county is still working out some glitches in ensuring that they have all the phone numbers. I mean, I know personally, well, he did a certain, he also gave me, Bill Hunt gave me an actual demonstration of how he would send out a message on, you know, on the computer and everything. It's very easy to use if we had a child account, you know, it would be our manager and OEM coordinator, you know, that would be probably doing, actually probably wouldn't even need the OEM for a non-emergency message. So it's very user-friendly, the system. So he did, he looked at my phone number, he showed me how you can zoom in on the map for just Washington Borough, and he couldn't find my phone number. So yeah, there are some glitches that they're working out. Using the current tax map that they have for the borough, it's about 2,500 calls that would be made per message. You know, that's how many phone lines. People with only cell phones that don't have a landline would need to self-register with the county, and if we were to use them for non-emergency calls, they would need to register with us. And there is a one-time self-registration list fee also. Now, the county already has a self registration list that people could do. So at the end, like I would recommend right now, people with the cell phone, I want to see if we can put it on our website, they should self-register with the county, you know, right now to get the county-wide emergency notifications. On the next page, in the Warren County contract, they gave a quote for each municipality's annual service fee. And for the borough, this annual fee was based on 7,064 residents times 20 cents per resident for an annual service fee of $1,413, and there would be a one-time setup fee of $100. Emergency calls and email messages are free of charge in this annual service fee. Now, right now, by being part of in the Warren County system, we already get all, any, if we had an emergency, we could use the county's system, you know, the Warren County system for the free emergency phone calls, okay? So that's where I'm kind of struggling right now with what they're proposing, because we basically, we're already getting free
emergency
ones, right. Then it's for non-emergency calls, it's 5 cents per call. And so based on borough number, this would be about $130 per message. So every time we had a non-emergency message, it would be about $130 to send it out to everyone in the town.
Excuse me. What differentiates between an emergency and a non-emergency?
I kind of tried to talk about, an emergency would be like, say something like hazmat or a natural disaster, but like, fire, but the special garbage pickup, that's non-emergency.
Okay.
That they would not consider that emergency, or, you know, even want a flu clinic, basically any other message you wanted to send out is non-emergency. We would really use it just for some specialized, you know, announcements like the special bulk garbage. I'm not proposing here that, you know, we start sending out messages constantly about whatever little thing that's going on in the borough, because we don't have the money for that. They also offer an option to prepay for a specific number of non-emergency calls in blocks of 10,000 calls at $400 per block of 10,000. And then after that, that 5 cents kicks in, and, you know, if you go over that. They could also provide a quote for unlimited non-emergency calls. On the next page. So then I went back looking at the numbers that they had originally given to the county, and then I spoke with Rich to get some of our numbers, because and looking back, like, at the one-call mail quotes and everything. And as of the latest census data, the borough actually has 6,461 residents. And using our tax map with Bill Hunt, he told me that they would only be making 2,400 calls. So that's far less than that 7,064 number. So I questioned how they got their number. And so they explained that the resident count was, you know, likely retrieved from earlier census data. And since most municipalities do not have a good count of the actual number of phone lines households, they use a formula that's been proven reliable of 40% of the total number of residents. So anyway, the actual number of phone lines households based on the latest census I provided would be the 2,584. So that came in. So then I asked if they could offer us any kind of discount further if we did piggyback on with the county. And based on all the numbers, they modified their proposal to $1,292 with the one-time setup of fee of $100. And then understanding the general state of the economy, they also offered our town another 20% off discount off the annual fee. So it would bring our first year cost to $1,134 annual service fee. Then you have your one-time $100 setup fee. Then they wanted this to be executed by the end of November, and I said, you know, it's not in our budget this year, and, you know, something we're looking for next year. So they said they'd work for us. The only problem I have, though, is there. I went back and I contacted One Call Now today just to make sure they didn't have any hidden fees or anything like that. And the quotes they gave us, that's it. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, given this annual service fee, then they would be the most expensive provider for us, you know, because we already can get the free emergency phone calls with the county. So now to do non-emergency calls, we're stuck in this annual service fee of $1,000 plus paying for the non-emergency calls, if that makes any sense.
How does it work with, you said free emails still? So that does include emails.
That does include emails. If you, how many people, we don't have a lot with email. That's not going to solve our problem of making sure everyone gets a message, you know, because email is so limited. It's great that they offer that, but it's not gonna encompass everybody. So at this point, I mean, I'm really, you know, definitely recommending that, you know, we begin utilizing, you know, the free emergency calls, you know, through the county. And it would have to come, I guess, that we would leave it up to the manager, and the county requests that our OEM coordinator contact them. And Bill told me exactly what he would need from Kurt, you know, like what's the incident, you know, what's the actual messages that we want to send out, and, you know, what area the emergency's in, and stuff like that. So I really recommend we definitely do that. I mean, fortunately, we don't have a lot of emergencies, but God forbid. And to put the contact information on the website for the county. I still firmly believe from the get-go in my whole proposal that we do need some sort of mass notification system, you know, for our citizens for things like the special bulk garbage or what have you. I still want to recommend that we choose a provider.
Well, wouldn't the special bulk garbage, that was due to the natural disaster, so wouldn't that come under an emergency thing?
He didn't say so, but yeah, I mean, I think they might have ways of wiggle room of... Right, yes, I mean, so maybe, but...
So, something like this, though, we could use to help publicize our events, you know, in town.
Well, then you're getting into how many, you know, how many messages. Obviously, what I found was most of them, the one call now, and that I haven't gotten heard back from the qualifier one, because my calculations for them, it just doesn't seem possible. They're too good to be true. So, yeah, the qualifier one, yeah. What I liked about that qualifier was, though, there's no setup fees, there's no contracts, you pay as you go. So, you know, if you only wanted to do one message per that year, then that, you know, that might be it. So,
that's good, because that's, you know, we could vote each time on what we want to
so,
send out messages or not.
But the problem is we need to have budget dollars in the budget, I think, you know, to be able to make those phone calls.
That's the other thing, too. You bring up an interesting point. How do we decide, you know, what messages we're going to send out?
Well, yeah, we'd have to...
We'd have to vote.
Yeah.
Expression, I guess, you know, what's more important. We need to get out the door of business, you know, the most important.
Say there's like a pool closing for some reason or something, like, you know, that's like a major thing in town, road closed. I mean,
yeah, road closure.
Some, you know.
Road closure, it would be considered non-emergency.
Right.
I have a question. So the county already has us in their system. Is there any way that we could contract with the county for 1 year and the sheriff's service to provide emergency for 1 year to see how it goes?
Well, no, we already have the free emergency. We don't have to do anything. That's already set up. We just have to, if there's an emergency tomorrow, Kurt just has to call them. That's already done. We're just not utilizing it, but we haven't had any emergencies.
Well, it looks like when we contract for a non-emergency.
No, because all they get is 20,000 calls non-emergency. And so he says he's very cautious on what, you know, that's not a lot considering a countywide non-emergency thing. So, no, you'd have to, even the county, if they have a non-emergency message they want to send out, they have to pay the 0.5 cents per call also.
Doesn't our phone company have options for something like this, Rich?
Not that I'm aware of through the phone company, no.
It probably wouldn't be
the other good thing with the rapid notifying the county is, you know, they've got all the numbers, it's kind of like already, like this qualifier, you know, we got to give them the phone numbers, you know, so I don't know how, you know.
Right, who does that?
I think we need to establish what it is that we're going to use it for. I think it's a good idea, but if we're going to enter into a contract and we're going to pay $1,200 a year, it doesn't seem like a lot of money. But if we don't use it for a year, we still pay a lot of money.
Right. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, you have to make sure.
If we haven't used the emergency system for however long it's been set up. So if the county sends, they only get the 20,000...
Free non-emergency.
Free. So... if they have 5 cents for anything over 20,000, why can't they charge us for 5 cents for what it is that we want, not emergency? Even if it doesn't exceed their 20,000, they would, if they exceeded by doing something that the county wants to do, they would have that.
Yeah, I know, that's slick.
I know what you're saying.
I don't think. I just don't think legally they can. They're bound into this contract, you know.
Well, we're using their subscription fee, but we're gaining the benefit of paying them,
right.
Not having to pay a subscription fee, but paying for usage.
Not just that, from a practical standpoint, how do they budget for that?
How do we budget for it? I mean, we're going to put up $1,200.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's if you use Rapid Notify. You could use one of the other ones. The one call now one was only $700 for whatever, the 3 or 4 messages.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Call Fire group, that's a private company?
Mm-hmm. They're all private. Rapid Notify is private, too.
So we have to give residents' phone numbers to them?
Yes.
Private company? See, I wouldn't want my phone number going to them.
But Rapid Notify is private, too.
Or whomever, because then it like opens up a Pandora box for.
No, they have private. Oh, no, they're not going to give out your phone number. If that's the concern. They have. That's all part of like the agreements and stuff. They already gave you a phone number for Rapid Notify, the county.
Well, that's, I mean, us here, the borough, physically doing it. I can't answer for the county.
I wouldn't want to be the person saying, yeah, give residents' phone numbers to a private company, because then people will be up here screaming at me. I don't care about what the county is. You follow me?
Yeah.
I don't want to be involved in giving out phone numbers.
Unless you could do a thing where you could create like a campaign in the borough saying, this is what we're planning on doing, do you want to voluntarily put your phone number on this list to get updates and messages?
Like you would for the...
That's what we have already through the website, the
yeah.
notification, essentially. Not phone call necessarily, but email. Just a little one step farther.
Mm-hmm.
This would be considered a professional service agreement, not a contract, right?
No.
No?
Not at those dollar amounts. There's no...
It's not a contract.
So if it was the phone company, though, Patrick, that security issue would be no problem with you, right? If it was done through, like, a phone company? Because they're already secure, I mean, right? They have our numbers.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I understand what you're saying. It makes all sense. I didn't want to be the person that says, yeah, everything goes to call fire.
Right.
I don't want to answer that, I don't want my phone number going there.
Right.
I have no control of the county.
Yeah, personally, I would be more comfortable if it was through the phone company rather than through a private company.
That's all.
Yeah, I guess they get the CVC, the CVS, the CVC list or something. I don't even know what it is. But, I mean, it's not, it wouldn't be us typing into a database everyone's phone number.
No,
so we'd be getting
it's the agreement that
we'd be getting
those numbers go. They can get those numbers. Yeah. I don't want to be a part of that agreement.
Okay.
But it probably is just the numbers and not people's names, because they wouldn't need the names for an announcement or whatever.
Right. So half the telemarketing companies don't care what your name is.
That's
they
true.
Just have to pick up the phone and say
true.
Hello.
That's right.
And then they go into it.
Good point. Especially in airtime, that's the most annoying. Yeah.
Okay, do we want to go forward with something like this, or we want to think about it a little bit more?
I mean, think about it, but...
Well, I'll make a motion
Go
ahead.
Okay, so where are we with... Where is the borough with the three emergency...
We can use the county system at any time,
okay.
as many times as we need to.
All right.
For
so
any emergency
and they have
situation.
The phone numbers for the people in the borough already?
They do.
Yes.
Okay.
They might be missing some, and they're working out those.
No, that would just be landline phone numbers, not necessarily
right.
cell phones.
People need to self-register their cell phone with the whole system.
Right. So this is something that's going on already, or is this something we have to sign up for?
No, the county already has it in place.
Yeah,
right.
We just have to tell
right.
them what to
so
put out.
This is how FEMA was able to make the calls to people the last time.
Yeah, I'm sure probably, we're in a low-lying area in Delaware, we're actually getting calls.
No, they actually make calls here in the borough because people got calls here in the borough.
I wouldn't aware of that.
Because that was the first one they sent out, and lots of people did not get that call.
I didn't get a call.
Yeah. I didn't get a call either, and I found out that other people did get a call.
Yeah, see, those are the glitches.
Okay, so
there could also be people just in the floodplain, too.
So that was through the county. That wasn't through
right,
the
that was through the county.
Right, so you're wanting to take it one step further so we have the borough hooked up into that.
Right, the borough can be hooked up. I'm just making
the
proposal that we're definitely going to, utilize that.
This is
I didn't even know it existed until Adam Zimmer mentioned it.
Yeah, this is something to do for non-emergency type of things.
No. First, he's focusing on the emergency.
Yeah, the county can do that.
Right. So we just have to do some kind of campaign to get borough residents to give their phone numbers for that.
That they're already there. Only cell phones would have to be gone.
Well, I meant, cell phones, right.
Rich, do we need any kind of motion for you to have, does this need to be a policy or something written for you and the OEM coordinator, or is it enough for us just to say?
To encourage people to register?
To utilize the Warren County Emergency Call System and for us to put on the website.
Well, putting it on the website is I don't think...
For people to self-register with the county.
That's the easy part. I mean, if the council wants to move forward with utilizing it as it needs, emergencies that find immediate health, safety, or welfare or something, things of that nature, that can be decided between the OEM coordinator and myself, if we want to notify the county on it.
So we don't need anything.
The county will have the ultimate decision, is it an emergency or is it not?
Yeah, no, he's
I think they're flexible.
Yeah, but you know, I think we already utilize the county system only for real true emergencies.
For, yeah, that's right.
I think you need to approach it forward, we're starting to use it more.
Okay.
So it's people that have cell phone numbers that have to call and register.
So we would need a resolution or a promotion to...
No, we don't.
We don't need anything. The opportunity is there now.
For non-emergency numbers, we need a motion.
No, emergency.
No,
emergency. We're still on emergency.
Still on emergency.
Policy is there now with the county for emergency notification. Their policy is to be notified by the OEM. When they're, that's who has to make the notification. Should there be an emergency, you know, I'll discuss it, and notification can be made.
Right, and I'll just email you what the guy said he needs. So that's the emergency.
All right, for non-emergency, we would need a resolution to investigate it further. I would propose a resolution like that. Yeah, just so that, I mean, we could look into, like, the phone company that we use now, possibly some of the cable companies, maybe Comcast does a rapid-fire type non-emergency, you know, mailing list or whatever you want to call it, phone list. So... No, I know. But we're not talking about this. We're talking about a phone list type thing. I'm saying it should be investigated. Maybe there's these other possibilities.
How about I make a motion? Does council want to...
I just made a motion.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But it wasn't seconded.
Well, I just made it. It didn't give it any... I wasn't even done speaking yet. So anyway, was there a second to that? I mean, that's what I'd like...
Repeat the motion.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to...
Hold on. I thought Janine had a floor here on this.
No, go ahead. He can continue. I was just going to make the motion simpler. Go ahead. You were getting more specific. Do we want to pursue it?
Okay, are we going to make a motion? We're going to debate it.
For non-emergency.
Yeah, all right. I'd like to finish making the motion to further pursue a non-emergency phone list situation through the phone company and other sources. That's the motion.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on it? Mrs. Detlef, I saw your hand up. Ms. Detlef, I'm sorry, I keep calling you Mrs. I will get that right sooner or later. Okay, you go ahead. As long as I know what it is, I'll answer to it.
Okay. So I had been at a meeting at BSAF, and the OEM man was there, and he was very much in tune with the emergency call, reverse call thing. So if there was a problem with the chemical company, it would not be a problem. So I'm thinking that if there's a problem in our town and somebody calls OEM, it wouldn't be a problem for the emergency stuff. So it's already going on.
Yeah, again, okay, but this, well, my understanding is it's for phone landlines.
Landline, exactly.
Right.
But he also said, I had brought up the thing about cell phones.
Okay.
They would have to get back information from the individuals.
Right, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we would have to put something on the website to tell people that they'd have to sign up. They'd have to basically register their cell phone number.
Yeah, for those who don't have a landline and may just use cell phone only.
Yeah.
So that they can get it.
A lot of people do.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Okay, anything else?
We have a motion on the floor.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, who's opposed? Raise your hands. Okay. Any abstentions? 4-3, the motion's defeated. Okay. That takes us into new business. Resolution 178, 2011, refund of an overpayment due to a tax-exempt status.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Your choice. Who moved and seconded? Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Dool?
Yes.
Yes. Boyle?
Yes.
Alkine?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Forrest?
Yes.
Levin?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution 179, 2011, a recreation appointment with the name of Jessica Olmos.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Vouchers.
Let's pay them. I need to pay the vouchers.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on the bills?
Yes. First ordering was a better name, but number two, came two. Here's the charge, the last all the way at the bottom. Fire suppression for the old DPW garage. That's still, that's still alarming that? to the 313 West Washington Avenue?
Yeah, that's a new garage.
At West Washington Avenue?
Yeah.
West? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, I didn't see the west. Disregard.
Okay. Anything else, sir? Okay, anybody else?
I do, real quickly. Mine's real simple, David. Richard, on page 11, Sunshine Tree and Landscape. What's the house number at North Jackson that we took trees out of? If you could find that number. It just says North Jackson.
Sure. Oh, that was the removal.
Yeah, what was the house number?
Okay, I get that.
Oh, yeah, you got, okay. Got it for everyone else but that one.
Where you can. Thank you, sir.
That's all, Mayor. Okay, anything else? Yes, I am. Thank you. I have my pages marked. Who wants to be lost at? What is LVCL?
Local Public Contracts Law.
Okay. On page 11, the sales tax, are we exempt from paying sales tax?
Not for everything.
No?
Certain things from the concession stand, the state
department. The borough has to pay. Okay. Something else? There's something else here. On page 13, that is the payroll account. Let's see here. I think it's number 14 on the list there, number 14, streets and roads seasonal. We have somebody working part-time with the road department?
Yes. Well, he was assigned to the park, but he comes out of DPW, always has.
And they're still working?
Through that pay period, yes.
Which is still October.
Yes. No. Correct. Through that, there's someone there right now. He's a seasonal employee, employed by the borough, assigned to the park. He's a public works employee.
Okay. Good. And how long is that for?
Probably the end of November until soccer season ends.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call, please.
Valentine?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes, with the everything except I staying on those buildings that have to deal with Washington Fire. That's the greatest one.
Hello?
Yes.
McCollum?
Yes.
Squad?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes, you fit in the fire department squad, please.
I'm abstaining from Finale and no to all the replacement computers.
Recap, Mr. Taylor.
We'll have the engineer contact the resident at McKinley Avenue regarding the stormwater issues that we've been having. We'll find out if there's no cost to the borough, which you have from Diamond. Find out if there's a way we can verify our recycling and compliance with our goals and ordinances within the borough. And I'll get the address of the property owner's address, rather, on North Jackson Avenue, where the tree stump was removed.
Council remarks. Mrs. Gleba.
One, did we ever hear anything from Rockaway Borough on the goalpost?
No, I sent them another email. They never got back to me.
Okay. And
that's
then,
why I'm kind of holding off going out to bid. Told them, could you let me know by the end of the week?
And thanks for contacting the engineer on the... we're not able to get any FEMA funds for our roads because they were in too poor condition prior to the storm. And then I just want to have a brief discussion with... basically with council, so from my own understanding, so that I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a council member, with regards to the budget process, and this ties into why I voted no on the replacement computers, I was under the impression that that's our main responsibility, the budget and hiring the professionals, and why we go through the budget process and why we have budget workshops and why we request each department's budget worksheet so that we can find cuts and come up with a final budget to approve. And that's why I questioned their replacement computers, because that was never requested in the budget process. And the manager says, you know, it doesn't, as long as he has the money in his operating budget, he can spend it on whatever he wants. And I didn't think that was how it was supposed to be. So I'm kind of just looking for advice, because I won't bother him, or I'll approve anything on the voucher list then, as long as there's money somewhere to pay for it. So I'm kind of confused. I'm looking for advice from my fellow council members on exactly what we are supposed to do, because what I've been doing for the past 2 years then has been wrong. I'll admit that then. But, you know, I felt I needed to do my due, you know, diligence in expenditures. Why even have us approve the voucher list if we have no say in the matter anyway?
When you're setting up your budget, there are certain things that are in there to be purchased. I can't speak to exactly which line item this came out of right off the top of my head, but should something arise where we need something, mm-hmm. some type of a purchase, and there's something else that's there that's not as an immediate type of need, you know, it can be used for that.
Exactly, but these dollars were not on that line item at all. I went back and did the research.
What line item did they come out of?
Office equipment.
Okay.
And I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, but it's the only time to talk, unfortunately, is in public.
Yeah, I would think computers to be office equipment. Now, maybe it wasn't.
But there wasn't. They weren't budgeted for under that line item. So I don't. So I'm trying to figure out. I don't.
Yeah.
And it wasn't requested. You know, it would be different if it had been requested earlier in the year. And you know, I'm not saying there isn't a need for it either. Then we should budget for it in 2012 if we have 10 clunker computers, and I'm not saying we don't need them.
Well, I believe some of them were breaking down, which is what prompted this, and we replaced ones that were, most of them were 6 to 8 years old.
I'll use that as an example, the computers. My question is, in general, then, is it okay to purchase things later in the year that were not requested or specifically budgeted for when we went through the budget process?
Yeah, because if all the money is gone, and I agree with you 100%, if all the money is gone or used up, you know, on other things that we didn't necessarily approve in the budget, I mean, basically the manager's at discretion to spend the money any particular way
if
they budgeted for something, decide not to get that because they need something else.
We have no possibility of ever getting a surplus because money will be spent, which is wrong.
Okay.
Wouldn't that come out of like an emergency fund of some sort that the computer being replaced due to breaking down?
I don't even want to focus on the computer thing because then it's like...
I'm just bringing that as an example.
Yeah, okay.
If the computer breaks down, you need to replace that. And
if we're going off kind of what Mr. Torres was saying, let's say we've used up all of the money in the budget and something happens,
right.
And we, you know, it's an absolute necessity, we have to spend it. Then it becomes an emergency appropriation, which we approve, which is charged to next year's budget.
Right.
I think that's where you're going. Does that pretty much answer you, Mr. Jewell?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're 100% right. To take a look at what's going on here on the bill list. Unfortunately, all we're doing is approving the payment for it. We're not approving the purchase of it, which we don't have any control over. The question that I had with these, and I did have it written down here, but I was going to get with the manager on that later on. Let's see right here. Are we going to have to transfer money into those line items to cover that cost? Into each one of those individual line items to cover the cost of those computers?
No. To my knowledge, no.
So,
theoretically, something can happen tomorrow to change my answer, but as of this meeting right now, no.
But there's no dollars in there. That's what I don't get. If there were no dollars put in that budget line item.
General fund takes out.
As I was explaining earlier, Janine, the state looks at two numbers. The state looks at other expenses and salaries and wages.
Correct.
All the other sub-account numbers that council creates to manage your budget, as far as the state's concerned, is irrelevant. It's an internal management tool. That's all it is. In order to keep track of how much you spend in each department. The state's concerned with the two numbers, the other expenses and the salary and wages. The state doesn't care if you say, you know what, I put zero in postage this year, but I spent $1,000. The state doesn't care about that. As long as
it was in.
As long as you don't overexpend your other accounts.
Expense.
not a salary rate.
It doesn't even matter for department.
No, it does not.
Salary
wages. No, you can overspend salary and wages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, correct. No.
You can't take salary and wages to cover operating expenses.
Oh, you can. Absolutely you can. You've done it the last couple of years via transfer resolution. Any account with money in it can have funds transferred to any other account with money in it after November 1st. Now, the fundamental concept here is that the local public contracts law, the local budget law, the local finance law allow managers, allow administrators, depending on the talent, allow clerks to spend within the pre-approved budget of the governing body, which this was. There are expenses that may have been budgeted that come in less. That does not necessarily give that department the right to spend it all, and vice versa. There may be numbers that come in higher. That still doesn't give them the right to buy it.
So going into Dave's question with where we have to transfer money, for example, say at the end of September, one of those departments that was on the, getting one of these things.
In the operating.
Right. And their total operating expense only has $200 left at the end of September. I'm just throwing out numbers here. And you're going to have we approve the purchase of $1,000. Where are you getting that $800? That's what I don't understand.
Well, no, you can't. What you see before you is if a department has $200, they can't buy $800 worth of stuff because you can't create the purchase order. In order to buy something, you need to have a piece of paper that's signed by the CFO that says all the money you need to purchase this exists right now in my budget. You can't.
But I didn't find that when I went back and looked at the numbers.
The system won't allow that. The municipal finance systems will not allow you to purchase more than you have.
What Janine is saying is, listen, the clerk has, the administration has an operating expense budget. If there wasn't enough money in the administration's operating budget to buy that computer, let's say there was $800 in there and the computers were $1,000, you're $200 short. By law, that line item can show a negative $200.
As long as there's enough substantial money in the overall operating budget.
In the overall, right. I think what Janine is saying is, look, you have at least 9 different accounts here that it was charged to for office equipment, that there was nothing in the budgeted in those 9 line items to purchase new computers. So somewhere along the line, that money has to come from somewhere, whether it's lawful, whether it's not lawful, whatever the budget process is, whatever. That money was spent, and it's coming from somewhere. Janine is saying that for the last 2 years, she's been the budget hawk. She can't continue to do that if we're taking money from somewhere or it's not explained that the money's coming from here, and when she goes back to the budget, there's nothing listed there. I think she has a valid point and a valid concern as to where is that money coming from.
The money is coming from their existing accounts, and expenses that they were requesting aren't going to be made to offset it.
Well, go on. Like in 2012, when we get all this budget information, why look at it,
The budget information that council sees and council approves ultimately equates to 2 numbers.
And I wasn't aware of that. All I was responsible for was the 2 major numbers.
And there needs to be a certain level of discretion in any form of government, and the attorney may be able to chime in on it if you want. You need to give a certain level of authority and discretion to the people running your town in order to make these decisions.
I guess maybe if that's the case, then why don't we should? I think we should be notified of those discretions that those things are going to happen.
In this instance, I had 4 computers die, 3 that were barely working, and none of them were able to sustain the software that we need to run this
municipality. I'm not arguing that they weren't needed. That's not my point.
The only way that'll happen is if council wants to become part of the requisition approval process. Because there's no other way. By the time you see it before you, the goods or services have been rendered. I just have not paid for them. Unfortunately, that's the way the local finance law works. That's
and
not
you have
this far.
$17,000?
I'm sorry?
You're reading a registered purchasing agent.
Qualified purchasing agent by law is $36,000.
$36,000. So that's, you can spend $36,000, and then tell. And that's, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
That's the law.
The point is, yeah, it's the law. That's not the point. I think what you need more, and what I would like, is to be notified that this is coming. Not to look at it and go, wouldn't we get the extra 10 grand?
Yeah, then I wouldn't be asking
like
all these questions at these meetings. You know, I'm trying to make the meeting, you know, the voucher list easier
just
too.
The bulk pickup. Where'd the extra money come from for that? And you explain that's coming out of contract because of business needs. But the
council has to have some level of trust with this management.
Let me put it this way. This manager...
It's not trust. I'm not saying that they didn't need the computers.
Manager has to inform the council.
I think it's frustrating because when you do the budgets, you're trying to save money. But yet, at the end of the year, that money you try to save is gone.
Anybody who questions what's on this bill list gets chastised for asking the question in public and not coming to you prior. When all this is right here is, we spent it, you approved. And whether we approve the bill list, like when we pull bills, they still get paid.
No, they
because
don't.
The service has been rendered.
No, they don't. I can't release this check until they get paid, and not one check has
what
been
I'm
released.
What I'm saying is, this bill list right here is going to get paid because the services are rendered. Either they're going to get paid or we're going to get sued.
That's
every bill that we pull, that we've had questions about, we pulled bill, has been paid.
Ultimately, the council reapproved it.
That's the point I'm trying to make. It's going to get paid. But listen, you're taking this the wrong way. I don't have a problem with you going and doing what you need to do. Big ticket items.
Well, define big ticket.
Like a motor and
a... Oh, wait a
second. No, I'm being
you
serious.
You define big ticket.
To me, big ticket's anything over $36,000. That's
no.
what the law is.
Okay, well, wait a minute. What about something that's done in increments,
ticket,
like the sweeper? Okay?
Let me finish
yeah, because that was like several repairs.
Okay. All right, the other option is not have a sweeper. All right, so if council wants to create a policy that any purchase over X dollars gets pre-approved in advance by you, I will be more than happy to do it.
That
will recover.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does.
No,
you
doesn't.
You
have
the
right.
Not if you create the policy. Not if you create the policy. The last
what
thing is...
What supersedes what, Councilman? Policy or law?
Well, I mean...
No, policy
I'm
or law?
I'm telling you all.
No.
There's nothing to...
Policy or law?
But you know, even if we did that, my problem is still then going through the whole budget process and having them come in and explain what they need the money for and defending their budgets. And we look, I'm looking at these items, and then all of a sudden at the end of the year, there's something being purchased that I, you know, I'm not saying I agree with the purchase, but it's
just private equity put forth.
To see what their budgets were and how they were using the money. You know,
we have this big deficit, so we want to try to hopefully have the surplus, in my vision, to get this deficit paid off so that we can be solving again, you know, and then
well,
run forward like that.
Yeah, my problem
so,
is the budget. Why well,
I mean,
have a
yeah, so
the budget
so that's what we're
process.
Talking about is the budget. So if the budget is, like, prepared in such a way that, you know, the manager can make these discretionary judgments, and then all of a sudden, any possible surplus is spent because it was just there. I mean, that's no good either.
No, it wasn't spent because it was just there. Things come up during the course of the year that you need to spend money on.
Well, then how come
your auditor explained that the four computers went down. None of them supported the software that was needed to run this municipality. And they needed to be purchased. I don't see what the big issue is.
Well, I'm assuming they probably are. Again, I don't want to focus on the computer, the computer purchase, but I'm sure their computers here are probably 20 years old. They probably knew that in January. You know, hey, we're going to need 10 new computers this year. That's all I'm saying. Let me know in January that you're probably going to have this major purchase coming up.
Like I said, why does not council pick a number? And
but that's going back to the voucher list, too. Okay, all right.
No,
if
council wants it to be their policy that any purchase over a certain dollar amount gets approved by you in advance, we'll do it.
Which also adds a layer of bureaucracy and time to getting the things done.
Sure.
And that's why I said my contention is going forward in the budget process. That's my problem.
Any budget is a best guess estimate. Now, we've heard that a number of times.
Maybe we could fine tune the categories for the budget.
Certain things come up during the course of the year.
No, it already is fine tuned. That's the problem. He's saying technically, all we have to get are two numbers, salary and operating expenses. He doesn't, they don't have to even provide those worksheets to council members.
Oh, that was something I voluntarily decided to provide to council once we got Edmonds up and running properly.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You're saying we don't even, you know.
So you can understand what the best guess estimate is that we're going to need for the coming year.
Yeah, but can't we?
Okay, that's all. I don't want to agonize this anymore.
Can't we vote a certain policy a certain way and then stick to it, that the budget has to be conformed to in certain, you know, respect with these certain categories?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't restrict your budget because things do come up, so.
I mean, do you want a strict definition of what materials and supplies are?
I know, exactly.
You know, it came out of?
Thank you.
Anything else, Mrs. Lever?
That's it.
Okay, Mr. Torres?
No.
Mr. Valentine?
No.
Mr. Boyle?
No, thank you, Mayor. Nothing tonight.
Okay, Mr. Jewell?
Let's be safe for Halloween. Watch our children for Halloween in Clark Park. We'll be having the Halloween parade 2 o'clock on the 30th for five top prizes for costumes, and it'll be happening later in Dover, and games for the kids. So hopefully everybody's children will be there.
Any ages that's for?
Any age.
Okay.
Word now is usually good, too. So.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just so everybody knows, I contacted Lord Snyder yesterday.
Snyder.
For a couple of weeks. One, when he was here talking to us, that, you know, he said that he wasn't going to talk maybe to the council members tonight. I can talk about this?
Yeah.
No, I was just... Yeah. All right, well, let's find out. Okay. To find out if, in fact, he wanted to talk to me. So he said, this is what he told me. And did he contact you? Because he told me he was going to contact you.
The only contact I had was when he sent someone from his office here about a week or so.
Okay, well, he's going to contact you about the conversation that I had with him yesterday. He said this. He's going to request an executive session sometime in the near future. At that time, he's going to provide an update to what's going on. He also said that at that time right there, he will give an invitation to any council person that wishes to speak. So I just wanted to let y'all know that I contacted him, and I'm not going behind anybody's back. That brings me to another point, and here's the reason why. I don't know if anybody's familiar with NJ.com. Okay. It is...
It's a newspaper website.
Pardon me?
The newspaper website.
Well, it's less than honorable if you get on the forums. Anyway, if you check my computer, I haven't been on the forums. Somebody came to me and asked me why there's somebody speaking with the auditor and then putting stuff on NewJersey.com about what it is that they're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens that I have copies of what was put on NJ.com, and I will provide that to those who wish. No problem. I'll get that to you right here. Now, I don't know who that is on. Is it BS? I don't know. Is it the truth? I don't know that either. But I think that if we're trying to conduct an investigation here, and people might have, might not have, and to the point where it says certain people were blacklisted. And I'm thinking to myself, certain people were blacklisted. Oh, that can't talk to the auditor, but other people can. And I think what says is, let's see here. Those years. I think the auditors would like to look into that. Oh, that's right. We were told not to talk to certain people. Well, I know one guy there they're talking to, and the little hose guys aren't going to like it. Now, there's a little hit meeting there, the little hose guys. You know what the little hose guys are.
I don't.
You're one of them.
Oh.
There's a hit meeting there. So I'm just putting that out there for everybody's information. Now, the second thing I need to talk about, and this is going to be real quick, and it was the railroad ties. Remember the direction that I was given on September 20th meeting about the to railroad ties that are where they're supposed to be, allegedly. And the direction was, you want to talk about, no, I can talk about that now. We took the vote
The direction was for you to contact the police if you believe a crime has been committed.
So guess what I did? I was directed by the council that I could go to the local police department, which I did. After consultation with the investigator over there, they had to in turn have a conversation with the county prosecutor's office, as our city so eloquently stated that would probably happen. Well, the county prosecutor's office said this, that since it's railroad property and railroad has their own police department, that the railroad police department or the borough should do their own. So, again, now I'm asking for direction. What do we do? Do we contact the railroad police department?
That's what I would do.
Okay, does anybody have a problem with me doing that? I got the detective here.
No.
Anybody have a problem with that?
No.
Do I need to take a vote?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Let the record show.
Well, just a clarification. Are you appearing in the police department as a representative of the borough or on your own?
Well, how should I do it?
Well, I think that's up to council.
Okay. Council
wants
to
do it, you know, one way or another. You can direct. That's it. I just want to make it clear
okay. What
role you would have.
Okay.
My gut reaction, my first reaction to that is that you should do it as a responsible citizen.
Okay, how about that? I'll do it as a responsible citizen.
Can I do that? Well, hang on just for a sec. Let's think that through. You would be contacting the police to say, I have some evidence or there may be some evidence.
I believe this.
Right.
Because this is what I was hoping.
I've got to figure out, we want you to have the maximum protection under insurance.
Sure.
So,
good advice. Good advice.
Yeah. So if you do it at the direction of council, that means
I'm protected
by the council.
Okay.
So the question, but that is a decision by council as to what they want to do and the scope of what you're doing. Okay?
Oh, understood.
Yeah. And the other issue is you want to make sure that the information that's being supplied is factually reasonable.
Oh, well, listen. If I could just tell you how I would go about it, this is what I was told. This is who told me you need to contact them.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That seems reasonable.
Okay.
And it seems to me that that's something that as far as council doesn't have any objections to. We don't want to, you know, the council member is trying to do something to advance the interests of the borough, right? To investigate or to have something investigated that is a concern or may be a concern. And the discussion was last time that, you know, it should not be undertaken as an individual initiating an investigation. If it's a police matter, he should go to the police with the information he has. He has certain information. And it seems reasonable that that should be done with the consent of counsel. Somebody's acting, somebody dislikes what he does and decides to sue, he's within the borough's coverage.
Okay.
Seems to me reasonable.
What difference is that between him acting as basically as a concerned citizen?
Well, if he's not acting as a representative, if his action is independent, then the position the carrier might take is, look, this has nothing to do with the borough. This is Dave Higgins acting as Dave Higgins.
Right.
If you agree that it's okay for him to do this, then he's acting as Dave Higgins' counsel member, so that the borough's insurance would cover that situation. It wouldn't be his homeowner.
There's no good Samaritan clause on this?
Ultimately,
you know the rule, no good deed ever goes unpunished. Corollary to the no good Samaritan rule.
Okay. Where are we at now? Are we voting on this?
there's no motion.
Somebody needs to make a motion.
A motion for David Higgins to represent the borough as a councilman during this inquiry?
Second.
Well, can I...
This report.
That Councilman Higgins is authorized to impart to the railroad police that factual information that he knows to the police for an investigation as they see fit.
There you go. Okay, so that the motion?
Yeah.
Okay, and the second agrees with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay.
Abstain.
Any abstentions?
Me. I want to be part of the vote, saying that, yes, I can do this. So the vote.
Fair enough. Anything else, Mr. Higgins?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. The only thing I have is I would remind everybody that on November 1st at 6:30 p.m., we have our little insurance safety class to help reduce some of our fees.
What day is November 1st? Is that a Monday?
Tuesday.
That's Tuesday.
First meeting in November.
Okay, so we don't, when's election day? Oh, it's later.
Yes, 6:30. Okay, we do need to go back into executive session for some personnel matters and contract negotiations. So I would accept, the motion for that after a 5-minute break. Okay, is there a second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. Any opposed?
They want to speak to you in a very stern way.
Yeah.
Well, be prepared.
Yeah, how it's stern. All right, gentlemen, we're back in open session. And ladies, I should say that too. All right, there was a question. Who wishes to propose it?
I'll present it.
Okay.
Where did you get the numbers for our energy costs right now on your graph? Is that of $175,000? Is that a ballpark figure?
I think part of it had to be projected because you didn't have the municipal garage online for, I've been asking about.
Oh, that included the garage?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. That answers the question.
Yeah, because this new online handout just shows the sewer treatment facility. It doesn't show the garage. So that's why the man
had a little
difficulty with this numbers.
Yeah. But that is an estimate, though.
Yes.
It may be a little high.
But the important thing is the percentage.
I have your numbers from, you got your last year's numbers. Are based on kilowatt hours. They were down by at least 10% from 2010. You had 860,000 kilowatt hours. That's what you times by whatever it is, right? That's what the sewage treatment facility did. It was either 2010 or 2009. Then the year after, you came down a little bit. Your garage numbers I've been asking for, but we're guesstimating that's a 50-kilowatt system, which is probably about another 60 or 70,000 kilowatt hours.
Yeah, the garage is new, so we really don't have
anything
for that.
Right.
And, we can do it with or without it. I mean, it's just that it's right there, and it's, you want to have the permission from the state to build as big as possible, and they go off of what your usage is. You get to project a little bit when you have a new facility. The other one, you got to go by the historic. So they ask for a copy. When we file the application with the state, they ask for, the historical usage.
Gotcha.
And like I said. And so for whatever reason, you came down a little bit last year on your usage. But we're going to use the average and try and go as high as we can.
The only reason that was raised is that the garage, they're paying 100, 110 or something like that.
Sewer plant.
Right. Whereas, so they were on seat 175. Where is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you need, a motion?
Yeah, I think it would be a motion to direct the manager to submit bids for the PPA, Purchase Power Agreement.
Request bids for the PPA.
Yeah.
So moved.
I guess you're right.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
In terms of the timing on that, it may be beneficial for us to be within a 30-day period, or is this something that happens within 10 days?
To award or to go out?
No, to go out to bid. When would you go out for bid?
Well, 30 days is not unrealistic to go out to bid.
Okay. And then how long would the bid process be? How long would the bids have to be returned?
Based on that document,
I think it was 10 days, right?
That's the document that was sent out, right?
Right.
I can't even send it out in 2 weeks.
Right. The bid documents, where's the manager and I was just kind of kicking this around. The documents are all ready to go. It's just a publication question. When do you get them in the paper?
If I get it to the paper Thursday, I can have it published next Thursday.
Okay, so it's a minimum of 10 days.
Mondays excluded. Is there a holiday?
I'm not sure.
No, that's right, no Mondays, no holidays.
What we're saying, with a couple of weeks or, you know, we would be looking to have an award if you could by your end.
I don't think that you're going to have an award by the next meeting, it's just not enough time.
No.
But probably by second meeting in November, maybe.
Okay, or even that gives us a month of pushing.
You just want something before January.
Correct.
Well, it's happening in December.
Yeah, we have, but they have to purchase.
Yeah.
So they have to award, right? We'd have to order a pretty happy amount of money towards panels.
Right.
Not all of them, but, you know, you got to meet the threshold.
You'd have to be vested by sometime in December.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Do we have any other business to take care of tonight?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
Aye.